Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight and another live prophetic talk show where we do it more than we talk about it. Welcome to the place. We're here. All right. If you need prayer tonight, make sure put your hand up. And if you don't know how to do that, I will tell you. All right. Put your hand up so that if you called into the show and you want prayer, but you don't know how to get into the prayer queue, I'm going to show you this real quick. You know, you call into the show by calling 319-527-6027. On that same phone pad, you can, if you're in the show right now, you can just go to the same phone pad and click on 1, and it should put you in the prayer queue. All right, click 1 on your phone pad. And then when you're calling to the show next time, if you want to get right into the prayer queue, you just, it'll say, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You click 1 on your phone right there, and you'll be put in instantaneously while you're on the show. You just go to your phone pad on your phone, like you're going to call somebody, and click the number 1 on your phone, and that will put you in the prayer queue. All right? Okay. All right. Welcome. All right. We're here to minister to you personally and pray for you and believe God with you for whatever you need tonight. And so join in and be a part of that, and we invite everyone to call in, pray for you every Wednesday. Wednesday's the night that we don't do any talking, really, as far as in the personal ministry time. We just go from caller to caller to caller, take the phone number, your name, and your state, what state you're from, and then we mute you, prophesy to you, and go to the next person. We do that all night long. And if you're patient enough, you can get in and get ministered to you on Wednesday nights for sure. Other than that, on Mondays and Tuesdays, we take callers, we prophesy over people, we talk for a little bit, sometimes a lot, based on how interesting the subject is and whether God is, you know, dealing with us about those things right then. And we feel like people may be being ministered to by the conversation, possibly. We will stay with that for however long and then move on eventually. So, all right, get used to that. Monday, Tuesday, that's the way it goes. So, hang on just a minute. In case you need to give it to somebody or somebody's listening in, you can go to 319-527-6027, and it will say, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Click 1 on your phone pad, and it will get you in the prayer queue. If not, if you just want to listen, then you can do that. You can just sit there and listen, and we will not even call on you because we know that sometimes you want your privacy. All right? All right, so we're going to share for a little bit tonight, share the word of the Lord, the word of God, some things God's been showing me, some things we need to understand about miracles. Got a little bit of this today. A little bit of understanding on, you know, different ways to look at miracles and how not to hinder them or get in the way of them. Sometimes we don't understand a miracle's happening, and so we try to fix it, try to, you know, help it. And God doesn't need help with miracles; He's doing miracles. So we're going to help you identify them a little bit tonight and share that with you. And maybe open up your mind to some things that possibly you've not seen or known before. All right. Okay, let's go here and let's look at scripture here for a moment. OK. Okay, hang on a second here. All right, let's go to James 5:17. You can look at this with me for a moment. I kind of want to talk about this a little bit and open your mind up to what miracles are and all the different forms of miracles and how that, you know, you can identify them and know that when God says something is a miracle or something is a miracle that God's doing, you recognize it as a miracle or God's intervention, which is usually what I call miraculous, supernatural intervention, and not to interfere with it. And let the whole process happen, and because it's all doing something, going somewhere. All right, so let's look at James, the New Testament, James chapter 5, verse 17. It says, in New International Version, it says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. All right, so right away it says Elijah was a human being, right, just like us. And even as he prayed earnestly. It says didn't just pray, but he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years on the land. So that was a miracle, right? And the fact that God is, James is bringing this up like this, shows that it's miracle-working power working, and that we ought to recognize it as such, and, you know, understand, you know, why would God have a man of God pray and stop the rain? I thought we needed rain. I thought that was more the miracle, was needing rain. If we need rain, and if we need food, then you think God would just have Elijah pray that it rained more or rained enough to water the crops and everybody could eat, everybody be healthy, and everybody would prosper or be doing good, right? Well, exactly. When you understand all the different kinds of miracles that God does, even in your family, in your personal situations, you begin to see that, you know, that God, when God intervenes, sometimes we don't recognize it as God's intervention. We look at it as, oh my gosh, they're suffering. Oh my gosh, they're doing without rain. There's drought. Something's wrong. What is that? Well, God's getting his way. In circumstances like at the time Elijah was praying that there wouldn't be rain for 3.5 years, it's because Jezebel and Ahab were doing their thing, and God was wanting to bring them back to God. He was wanting to bring Israel back to God. So, you know, that's one of the things he did. He spoke that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. Therefore, the people of God began to, you know, cry out. Because back in those days, they were told, if it's not raining on the land, you're doing something wrong, right? If there's not provision for you, if there's something going wrong, it's not being fixed. That means there's probably something that you're doing wrong. But now we adjust it all to, well, it's not really us, it's the devil, it's this, it's that, it's the other. And so the more we begin to understand how God intervenes and how miraculous that it is when he does, like Elijah was a man of the supernatural realm, right? He was a man of the supernatural. In other words, where God intervened in his life around him and through him, in ways that human beings could not do, right? When he called fire down from heaven, that was totally supernatural. And what was he doing? He was, you know, when the fire consumed the altar, when the false prophets, no fire showed up in their altar, and yet fire showed up in Elijah's, that was showing that God was behind him, or Elijah was prophesying or saying or doing was true and right. It was from God. And so Israel lived by. You have to understand, friends, this is something a lot of people realize. If the church, or back in the days of Israel, Israel was birthed in miracles. Israel has lived in one miracle after the other, from the times that God chose Abraham to do the things he had done and watch God supernaturally provide for him, you know, which was really Israel, and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Israel and, you know, Moses and Elijah and Moses and Aaron and all of Israel. when God begins to deliver them, you know, it's one miracle after the other. So the prophet who walked in miracles, who, you know, saw people get healed. He was a prophet. He saw people get healed miraculously. He saw God turn, turn things around supernaturally quite often. And for food, he multiplied. He saw food multiply. He saw, you know, all kinds of things going. And so in this case, he was crying out. You would think that a prophet is going to believe God for a miracle. He's going to believe God for a miracle for rain. Or he's going to believe God for a miracle for somebody to get healed, right? That's what a miracle is. But no, friend, a miracle is God intervening, because at this time Israel had fallen away from the Lord and did not even realize that they had been. Right? Didn't it? So what happens? The God of Elijah was the God of miracles. The God of Israel used to be the God of miracles. Used to be, but Israel had little by little gotten away from God. And so, you know, here comes Elijah and does a miracle. What's the miracle? The miracle is the land dries up. And people begin to, you know, dry up, and people begin to realize that God is not happy with them, and they begin to check themselves. Well, that's a miracle. Because, you know, if you've ever had children and you've had them, involved in things that they shouldn't be involved in, and you see their land begin to dry up, their life begin to dry up, and they begin to suffer, sometimes we want to intervene in that and stop that, just like I'm sure many people wanted to, you know, try to get it terrain in many different ways. I'm sure Israel got together and held hands and agreed. We're all going to come in agreement. We're going to believe God for rain. Well, they believed God for rain. They prayed that. I'm sure they had prophets prophesying, there's going to be rain. We don't have to live like this. This is not God's will. God, this is not God's heart. This is not what God wants. He wants us to be blessed and prosper. And yet God was right there in the middle of it, bringing drought for the very purpose of calling Israel to repentance, because, and this Israel repented, God didn't have a seed in the earth, and at that time, his seed was going to bring forth the seed, which was Christ Jesus, and so he had to have a seed to save the world, but they did not know that. They didn't see the big picture. They just saw the little portions of it, to where they were God's people, and, you know, we're trying to do best, trying to do right, but yeah, we keep falling, we keep making mistakes, so what? What's the big deal? But they did not realize, number one, what their purpose was they were the seed that was going to bring forth the seed of David, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world that was going to save the whole world. And because they didn't recognize that, they knew there were promises about God doing things, but they did not realize really even what salvation was. Like even Nicodemus did not understand being born again, right? So you know that Israel didn't understand where God was taking all this with Israel and why it was important that they not be in idolatry and not sleep around with the Canaanites and have babies and intermix with them, because it was all about one thing, and that was getting the Savior born so he could live in the earth and save the world. And so, because they couldn't see that, they just lived from day to day, you know, and it didn't really understand what was going to happen in the future and how that God was going to use the chosen seed, which was Israel, to bear forth the Messiah who would save not only Israel, but would save the world, right? They didn't see that. They didn't see that picture. So the reason God was tough on them, the reason he had Elijah do the miracle of no rain for 3.5 years, and it was a miracle, was because of that very reason. You know, he tried to keep them set apart, sanctified, keep them from totally, totally falling apart, so that they could eventually be sober-minded enough and, righteous enough and have their DNA not defiled. You know, God kept that one Mary seed. He kept her seed, her family line, very clean, very pure, and that's why he chose Mary. It wasn't because she was, you know, better than everybody else so much as her genetic code was, you know, clean and pure to the point where God says, you know, he didn't pick her because look at her, she's so sweet, isn't she cute, she's so innocent. Well, most girls were innocent, you know, at that age, and pure and beautiful. You know, probably not all of them, but, you know, most of them were. And so why did he do that? He did it because her seed, her genetic code was was pure enough, and God could see through that. He could see that her genetic code. He watched over the years when Israel went in idolatry and did all the, intermingled with other, the Canaanites and others, and them not realizing that if they defiled that seed, then the Messiah could not come. So you have to start seeing things in the light of what God was trying to do in the end result to know why he would do something that seemed cruel to them, like, okay, well, they're messing up a little bit, so what? Everybody messes up. Well, you don't understand. With Israel, they're going to bring forth the Messiah, the King. And the way they handled themselves had a lot to do with their ability to bring him forth. And the only way God could save the globe, save the world, save for God's love of the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, right, that whoever believed in him would not perish, then bring healing to the earth, was through Israel. So when you look at Israel, you look at Israel as the chosen vessel to bring forth the chosen servant, Jesus, to, you know, save the whole world, to give his body and his blood so that you and I could get our genetic codes clean, our roots cleaned and washed, and have our sins forgiven us so that we could, you know, have fellowship with God and return back to what eventually will be the state of the Garden of Eden, where we're going to multiply and increase and have children and fill the earth with the glory of God. It's going to be amazing. So in our understanding of how God treated Israel, so sometimes when you're looking at your children and you're looking at maybe your own life, and, sometimes things tend to dry up, things tend to go the wrong direction, and you seem to be being maybe possibly chastised, for what you're doing, instead of looking at it like, oh, the devil's coming against me, when we look at everything like that, sometimes we deceive ourselves because, how much access are you giving the devil, right? How much access are we giving the devil to our lives to blame everything that goes wrong on the devil? Sometimes I think God's trying to say, it's not necessarily that you're a bad person or that you're in really deep sin and that's why this dryness is coming upon you, but it is because I'm making you aware of how far you are away from me so that you can want to come close to me. So sometimes the miracles that happen are negative things, things that dry you up, that cause you problems, that cause you to see, like when Israel, when Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, the reason that was a miracle from God and not an intervention of Satan, like I'm sure many of the prophets of that day said, oh, Satan's just interfering with our water flow, our prosperity. But the truth was that Israel had fallen away from God, and God was coming after them, and it was nothing but love. The reason he did it was pure love. So we have to identify, is our problem from the devil? How much of the devil have we let in, right? How much of the devil are we letting in? How much of the devil is the leadership of the body of Christ letting in through teachings, through, what we know about the Bible? How much compromise do we have? And so we just can't blame. If you blame everything on the devil, that means that in many ways, you're the one opening the door for the devil to come in and do this stuff, right? So if you rebuke him and rebuke him and rebuke him and get other people to rebuke him and it's not going away, well, it may be to a certain degree that you might want to check within yourself and see, God, what am I doing or what do I need to do? It may not be something you've done wrong, but it may be something that God wants to make right in you scripturally, doctrinally, biblically, and your life get lined out and get on the rock of Christ Jesus so that the devil has no authority to successfully mess with you. It's not that he's not going to mess with us, but it's when he's successful at it. That's when something's wrong. That's when we have to look beyond everything's the devil. Because if everything's the devil, then are you letting the devil in? How's the devil getting in there if you're not letting him in? Through something, through ignorance, through, pure stupidity, through just rebellion, through wrong belief, through believing the scripture wrong. What is it? So that's why we come and, like when we take communion, we examine ourselves. We examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves and understand that not everything's the devil's fault. Because if everything was the devil's fault, then what are you doing to let the devil in? That's what you have to think about. That's what I have to think about. God, what am I doing to hinder, the blessings? Why is Satan, if everything's, Satan, then I must be doing something wrong, because, you know, if God's the Almighty God and He's all powerful, it doesn't mean that we can have struggles and battles with Him coming against us. But when He's coming against us successfully, then that's a different story, right? Yeah. So the weapons of our warfare are mighty to God. They're pulling down our strongholds. So if they're not being pulled down, it means we're not praying properly. And that's why we've been talking lately about the Lord's Prayer and about learning how to pray properly, the Lord's Prayer, because when you line yourself up the way Jesus said to pray, you're going to be praying correctly, right? Yeah. So we're going to be working on that here in the future. So you know, we're learning, we're growing, and we're going to see that just like God, it wasn't the devil that got Elijah to bring a drought upon Israel. It wasn't the devil that did that. It was God. You know, God told him. He said, you know, yeah, they're having trouble over there. I need some help. I need a miracle, Elijah. I need some miracles. So the miracle we're going to give them is drought. And that miracle of drought, you know, did a number on them and caused them to begin to look at themselves. And because sometimes people will not examine themselves. They'll blame everything on the devil, everything on everybody else, and they never examine themselves, hardly ever examine themselves, to see that possibly, it's not necessarily that you're out doing bad things so much, that might be part of it, but it may be that your belief system is incorrect. You're letting fear in, and fear in is coming in and being victorious over you, because somehow, some way, maybe ignorantly or innocently, you're doing it, but still, you know, just because the fact that Satan's coming in and able to mess with us, don't you think that we should ask God to, even if we're innocent of it and it's happening because even of our ignorance, that we should become knowledgeable and truthful to find out how to stop it, right? Because we should be, we're more than conquerors, friend. And so when you're not more than conquering, it's not God. We can't, right? We got to quit blaming God, and we got to quit blaming the devil. We find out that if we're walking with God and walking in His authority and believing correctly and praying correctly, as Jesus taught us to pray, then Satan is not going to always be able to successfully come against you. Come against you, yeah, successfully, that's a whole other thing. Right, we've been talking about this for a while, how a lot of the leadership of the body of Christ has opened up doors to the enemy. And everything from death to just destruction and corruption, you know. And we're all going like, well, that's just the way we've always done things. And as long as if we keep doing them that way, friend, I guarantee you, the devil's just going to have an open door. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be fighting the devil with an open door to him, right? We have enough trouble as it is with our flesh and learning how to grow and dealing with people who are immature and growing and, you know, sin and problems in the church. You know, we're always going to have a little bit of that. But the thing is, you know, do we have an open door to Satan? Are we letting him in? And because there's an open door, in other words, he doesn't even have to knock on the door. He's just going to walk in right through. So that means we need to close the door, right? So if there's doors open, what are the doors that are open? How do we close them? And what are they? What do we need to do to get them closed? And so that's really what prophets do. Prophets are used by God to bring disaster sometime, you know, as sad as it is, but it's a miracle. In God's eyes, it's not going like, well, they wouldn't listen to anything else, so, you know, I have to save them. I have to deliver them. They're asking me to deliver them, so I've got to do something. So Elijah, you know, the last resort over here, we've got to have some drought, so I'm giving you authority to speak a drought because we need a miracle over here to bring God's people back. So in God's eyes, the drought, the dry time, the struggle, the battle, wasn't of Satan. God brought that in. And so that's what we got to find out and recognize, friend. Is our drought coming from God because somehow we've opened up ourselves? You know, so we have to rightly divide the word of God and the word of truth and find out what's really going on and examine ourselves. And many of the things that we talk about, people just, I don't know about that. That's not that bad. We've been doing that for years. Yeah, well, that's the problem, friend. We've been doing some things for years, and the Lord says, you know, I want to shut the door to that. We've got to shut the door. God's going to shut the door through his, and he's going to use his prophets to speak miracles on people. What miracle? Well, the miracle of drought. Because in God's eyes, if that's what brings you down, that's what brings you to conviction, to examine yourself, then in God's eyes, he got a miracle. God got his way. So don't always look at circumstances that are going wrong with your kids. You know, don't try to intervene and try to stop them and go, well, I know in the name of Jesus, I'm going to stop that. No, maybe God is putting, like Elijah, to speak a drought over that person. You know, and if everything's starting to dry up, don't try to interfere with it and water them and feed them. You know, keep them alive, yeah, of course. But don't interfere with what God is doing. If he's trying to dry something up to bring them to Jesus, and you're over there, you know, making it to where they don't have a drought, you know, because, oh, my God, I gotta help my child, show us how to lovingly let God bring drought on people to bring them to repentance. And sometimes it's rather difficult, but we're going to learn how to do that, and we're going to start seeing a lot of this stuff go on. And if we don't identify it correctly, we're going to call it a disaster from the devil, right, when it could be a disaster from God, a drought from heaven. One time I had somebody ask me to pray over California. Randy, pray over California. There's a drought in California. And I started to open my mouth and pray, and the Lord said, don't pray for California. I'm bringing that drought. I went, and I told the person, publicly right here on PGN, I said, you know, God just rebuked me. I can't pray. I'm not going to pray for California right now because God's involved in this. And they went, okay. You know, like they expected me to, you know, interfere with what God was doing. And I said, I'm sorry. In this particular circumstance, God just told me not to do it. So I didn't. So, you know, I don't know that I always get it right, you know, but friend, this is what the Lord is trying to say to us tonight. We need to be under kinds of miracles. Sometimes miracles are droughts in God's eyes. If that's going to bring his people back to repentance, back to him, then don't you think we should give him the grace to have his drought when he thinks there needs to be one on God's people? I think we need to ask God about that. I think we need to open up to that and start realizing, you know, if there's even droughts in our lives in different ways, you know, what's going on? What needs to be? Is there unforgiveness in my heart? Do I have unforgiveness? Is that the door that I've opened up to Satan for him to come in? Because let me tell you something, friend. If you're always calling in every week to your prayer people, your prayer friends, your intercessors, whatever you're doing, and, you know, it's just always out of control. Satan's always, you're Satan. And I'm just thinking, after a while, I start going, well, what door you got open, man? It's like, you sound like you got a door open to me, because, I mean, it's like Satan has free reign to do stuff, right? Okay. Or, you know, maybe because there is doors open, if there are, then maybe God's going to bring drought and certain things to close the door. So once the door's closed, then problem anymore. All right. So we're going to start seeing miracles and the treasure. We're going to learn how to treasure. This is a year of treasures, and we're going to learn how to treasure what God is doing, even if it's a drought. Could you imagine treasuring a drought? Thinking, you know, being thankful for a drought? But when you see it go through God's eyes, God's like going, man, I'm thankful I've got a prophet that'll do what I say. You know, instead of all the other ones trying to counteract it. You know, we got prophets and prayer people. Oh, we're going to counteract this 3.5 year drought. In the name of Jesus, we're going to agree together. And, you know, I mean, you know, how many times have I done it? I'm sure probably bunches of times. I really don't know. But the point where I'm making this, friend, is that we're going to learn. God is trying to teach us how to not interfere with his miracles just because they're a negative miracle, so to speak. We're calling it negative, but it's really in God's eyes, it's positive. He's going, like, this is the only way I can reach him. Then you need to let it happen. Don't spend all your time and money praying and fasting over something that I'm doing. Amen? Yeah. All right. There you go. All right. So let's take callers tonight and see what's going on. Thank you for being with us. And let's see here. Hang on a minute. You for being here. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's take callers tonight, see what's going on. Good to be with you. Glad to hear from you. Hope you're all doing well. And going to be believing God with you for whatever you need. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, let's take our first caller tonight. And let's see, hang on a second. I got people. Okay. Find numbers here. Somebody's texting me. Listen to me. All right. 913-660. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hi. My name is Alioa. From Kansas City, Kansas.
Hi, Leowa. We've talked before, right?
Wow, you actually remembered. Yes, we have. Years ago. It's been years.
Yeah, you sound... Yeah, your name sounded... Leowa is kind of an unusual name, so I remember that name. So, all right, yes, I did remember. All right, let's mute you for a second, Leowa, and let's pray for you. And thank you for being here tonight and for calling into PGN for ministry. We really appreciate it. I thank you, Lord, for Aaliyah, God. I thank you for the confidence you're bringing her over fear. That God's going to counteract your fears with confidence. The confidence that you need that God's really bringing to you and delivering into your hands is the confidence that he's with you. You know, when you walk through a valley is never, you know, a fun thing. But many times valleys can be a place of beauty. It can be a place of learning, a place of growing. But if we see every valley we go through, every struggle we go through as something like of the devil and all that, then we understand, we forget that God lives in the dark places. God lives in dark places, you know, secret places, mysterious. He's mysterious. He's not always easy to understand, and he lives in the dark of the treasures, the dark treasures. And so Aliwa, I see God really you know, counteracting your fears with confidence that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil if thou art with me. You know, it's one thing to have fear. It's another thing to fear evil. Because evil is out to get us. We know evil is out to destroy us. So when we don't fear that evil, then it can't have an inroad into our life, right? So sometimes teaching earlier tonight about how the doors that we have open, sometimes we have fears that allow us we fear evil. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with things and we think, oh, it's the devil, is evil trying to take over. Because when evil comes in, Satan comes to do one thing, three things actually, to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's his main goal, his main purpose. And so when God gives you confidence, the simple way to counteract that is confidence in God. And literally having faith in God, having confidence that God is with you. Therefore, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. It's real simple. And I see God really making you aware of how that he's with you, that he's protecting you. Yes, you're going to have battles, you're going to have struggles, you're going to walk through valleys, but you don't have to fear the evil in them, right? And so God's showing you how to counteract the fear of evil, right, the fear of evil. And the fear of destruction, the fear of something evil going on with it. It's one thing to have a negative thing going on. It's a whole other thing to have an evil thing going on, right? Because Satan is evil. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to bring life to you, Eliwa. And so let's believe God with you to really build your faith up this year and to open you up to that so that you can, you know, see the Lord in the midst of your valleys. We all go through the valley. Everybody goes through valleys. Sometimes we go through valleys as a cycle. You know, like just like women have cycles. Everybody has cycles. They don't realize we have seasons. And in those seasons, in those cycles, we go through, you know, dark times. And learning to walk through the dark times, when you're able to find them to be more treasurable, more treasure in the dark times, in the secret times, in those, you know, times you don't know what's going on, those are the times that we find out things about God that we don't normally know. So to be afraid of that and let evil torment us, you know, and think that, oh, no, I'm in this dark place, and we start seeing that dark place is a place of God showing us another part of himself, instead of when we get a hold of that, it changes everything about the way we do things, the way we look at things, and about how we walk through things. So anyway, all right, Eliwa, how are you doing, and what is going on? It's been a while since we've talked, right?
Yeah, it's been years. I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful to be on. I've tried before some time ago, but I just felt like the Lord just dropped in my heart to try tonight on. So that's really interesting. Wow. So life has been like hell, just to put it bluntly. The last 5 years have been. Yeah, it's been, so the word, you know, that the Lord is speaking is definitely spot on. And I think right now it's so hard, it feels so hard for me to really hear him. I feel like my discernment is, I believe because of everything I've kind of gone through.
Right.
That it's so hard to discern, so hard to hear what he's saying. And I just, I feel like I'm in a dark place. I'm not sure if I'm coming or if I'm going. So,
right.
Things have just been really hard. It's been just really, really hard for me. So,
okay.
So I was thinking, okay, what do I want prayer for? But I couldn't even think about what exactly I wanted prayer for, you know.
Right.
So I don't even know.
You don't have to know. That's the thing about this show is that what we do, you don't even have to know what you want or what you need. Because sometimes what people call in, Eliwa, and think that they need, if you have me on speakerphone, you might take me on speakerphone because it's I'm hearing a little bit of echo and that kind of thing, if you can. That, you know, people think they call in and they think, oh, I know exactly what I want. I know exactly what I need. And then the Lord takes me off in a completely different direction. They're going like, well, I didn't really call him for that. And sometimes, you know, many times it really is what the Lord is trying to direct them toward, but they just can't see it, you know. And at least you're calling in going, I don't really know what I want or know what I need. I think it's really, in a sense, a very beautiful place to be. As difficult as it is, it's a beautiful place to be because you don't know it all, and you haven't got it all together to tell God what you need and what you want, because you don't even know. You can't even discern what you want or need or what you need prayer for. Where's the starting point for helping you? You don't even know that. And really, in a sense, that's a beautiful thing, Eliwa. I know it sounds horrible from your perspective, but from mine and from the Lord's, it's like, you know, this is a beautiful place to be. It's as horrible as it sounds, because it makes you more vulnerable to the Lord, And the fact that you're seeking him and calling in tonight and saying, God, you know, please help me. And then when you call in, what do? The Lord right away goes to walking through a valley and fearing evil and, you know, don't know where you're going. And I'm in this dark place. And so that's, what's your deal? Exactly that. That's exactly what's going on. So he's already showing you, because, you know, I haven't talked to you. I don't even know when I talked to you. I just know your name sounded familiar. Has it been 5 years or so or longer or a couple of years or how long?
Yeah. It's been 6 or 7.
Oh, has it been? Okay.
Years.
So we've all grown much older since we've talked to you. Okay, there.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's okay. That's funny. Yeah, but yeah, so it doesn't really matter, but I do remember your name, so for the Lord to, you know, I mean, for all I know, you could have called in and said, Randy, man, I just made $5 million and I want to donate $100 to your ministry. Where do I send it to? I mean, I don't know what you called in for, you know, like, you know, hey, right. You know, I just had a great breakthrough. Everything's going great. I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for the last time we talked 7 years ago, you gave me some word about, and I'm going to get a breakthrough. And finally, 7 years later, I got one. I never know, Leo, what people are going to call in about. You never know. You never know.
Right.
And so the fact that the Lord went right to the point with you, he's letting you know, I love you and I'm watching over you and that I care for you and I know where you are. I know the darkness that you're in and I'm with you in it and you don't have to fear evil.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think right now tonight, to make it simple, I think the Lord is just saying that just by the simple word that you got and you understanding that's where you are shows you that Jesus is watching over you. I think that's what you need to know more than anything is that he's there with you. Even though we can't feel him, we can't seem to understand him, we don't have a clue what's going on, how to get out of it, where to go, which way to go, what to do right. What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? We don't know. But you know what? If you just know one thing, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Eliwa, I fear no evil. Mm-hmm. For what reason? For a list of 10 things? Yeah. No. One thing, because I know you are with me. And so the Lord telling you tonight, Leoa, I'm showing you. You haven't talked to Randy in 7 years. He didn't have a clue what's going on with you. But I know. I know what you're going through. And I'm with you. It's an over you, whether you know it or not. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that and and meditate on that because there's that's where I am. I can't be where I'm not.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah, that is okay.
Jesus comes for, he said, I came for the wounded. I came for the sick. I came for those who need me. He said, you self-righteous people, you don't need me. You already know all the answers. You already know everything. You know, let me tell you something, Leah. One of the things that you need is to be needed. You need someone. Someone needs to recognize your value and see, and you realize you have value. And Jesus lives off the same thing. Jesus, you hear it in his voice when he's telling those people, those self-righteous religious people who knew everything, who had all the answers to everything, and yet they were so messed up it was unbelievable. And they said, "Yeah." Jesus said, "You know what? I didn't come to you guys. I didn't come for y'all." You can go somewhere else if you want. I came for those who need me. I came for those who are needy and broken and don't know who they are and don't know what they want. Those are the ones that I'm closest to. Those are the ones that I came for.
Yeah.
And that's what I hear the Spirit of God saying tonight towards you. He's saying, hey, I'm coming for you. I'm with you more than you realize. I'm not with those people who knew everything, know exactly which way to go, and know what's happening. Oh, yeah, I know exactly where I'm at. I know exactly what's going on. And they're just as messed up and more messed up than anybody else.
Yeah.
You're in a beautiful spot, as horrible, as hard as that is to believe, as far as with the Lord being with you.
That is so beautiful, like,
to be needed. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
There's something about that.
Yeah. And you know what? You know why we're like that? Because Jesus is the same way. He's the same way. He said, I need to be needed. I didn't come for those who are already healthy. Everybody's heard that scripture. I didn't come for those who are healthy. I didn't come for those who don't need me. I came for those who need me and want me. But he's the same way.
Yeah.
He has the same needs that we do, yeah.
Mm. I love that. Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's just, it's just so nice to have, just to have the attention of the Lord, even though I know that I always have his attention, but I think just to have that he would, you know, draw you to me in order to speak to me is so comforting, because sometimes I feel like I just get lost in the midst of, life.
Yeah.
And
sure.
Everybody's kind of doing their own thing. So, yeah.
Right. So sometimes the biggest answer is, and when somebody's really just, you know, being thrown around is, hey, I know it doesn't seem like it, and supernaturally, like God, to me, in my place, in my position, the way I see it, because I know that I don't know what you're going through. I remember your name. That's about it. I remember that name.
Yeah.
And he said that to you, and that's where you're at. That, to me, was him saying, you know, I'm with you. I'm watching over you, and I know where you're at, and I know it's rough, and I know it's difficult, but I'm going to bring you through. You don't have to fear evil. Don't fear the destruction of where you're at. You know that I'm with you, saith the Lord. You know, just through the word I gave you tonight, just through the word that I'm speaking to you tonight, that you know Randy doesn't know anything about you. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know you were calling in tonight. You know, I didn't have a clue. Only the Lord knew that.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Randy.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad you called in, and that's what we're here for. So it's the Lord's, one of the Lord's favorite things is to, you know, the ones who know that they have struggles and know that they're not all together, those are going to get into the kingdom of God and are going to get their breakthrough faster than those who think they know. Because if you think you know, you don't receive correction.
Right.
I think I'm doing fine. I think everything good. I don't receive correction because, you know, I already think I'm fine. I already think I'm good. And the
right.
Lord goes, man, you know, you're blind and naked and foolish, and you don't even know it. That's what one of the churches in the book of Revelation, he said, you're blind and naked, and you don't even know it.
Right.
In other words, you're running around naked, and you don't even know you're running around naked. You know what I mean? That's pretty embarrassing. Oh, no, I'm not naked. You know, somebody's running around naked in the front, downtown. Like, oh, I'm not naked. Yes, you are. You're naked. No, I'm not. That's exactly
right.
What that's like. It's like the Lord tries to tell them, you know, you're blind and naked, and you're an embarrassment, and you don't even know it. And that really grieves the heart of God. But you know that you're struggling. You know you're battling. And just that alone is beautiful, that he's speaking to you about that.
It is. It really is. Yes. Wow.
So try to listen in. Try to learn. You know, try to, you know, where you get your Bible teaching, I don't know. I don't know where you get your words at, where you get your help at. I don't know exactly. Maybe there's many different places. A lot of people have different places they go to. But, you know, check in with us and listen to the messages. And if you can, and, you know, let's believe God to start bringing you out.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. All right. So really meditate on that, what happened tonight. That was the word spoke within itself more than anything of what God's showing you about you, that he loves you and he's with you, and that he hears your cry, and he knows about it. So if you can meditate, I think just meditating on that, without a bunch of complicated explanations of everything, is the best thing for you at this point. Do you think?
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Meditate on the fact that I am with you, and yet in fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Yeah, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. I hear you hearing that in the middle of the night. Like, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. And because once the enemy gets us thinking that evil is having its way, then that's pretty scary. You know, we're out of control. The devil's got a hold of us, you know, whatever way that, whatever fashion, whatever level that is, and we're lost, and he's taking us down. And if he can convince us of that, then that's successful. So that's why the Lord says, you know, I'm with you in the midst of this, letting you know about it specifically.
Yes. I will definitely meditate on that. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right. Call back anytime you want, Aliyah. Right. Thank you. Bye-bye, dear. All right, let's take our callers tonight. And 353-894, who am I talking to here? Where are you from, please?
Hello, Brother Randy. It's Tony from Ireland. God bless you.
From Ireland. Well, how
bless
are you
Lord.
Doing, my friend?
Good to hear your voice.
Let's pray for
good
to hear your voice, too.
Yeah, good to hear you.
Let's pray for you, and then we'll come back and talk to you. How about that?
Perfect.
Hang on a minute. I'm going to mute you just for a moment, and we're going to pray for you. And give me just a moment here. I got one little thing I need to do real quick. Hang on a second. Okay, my friend Tony from Ireland, good to have you tonight, my brother. Thank you, Jesus, for the commandments of God. And I see the Lord giving you commands, like things to do, things like commanding you, like, you know, he says, obey my commands, and life will go well with you. Obey my commandments, and all these blessings will come upon you. You know, sometimes we think of commandments, Tony, as being something that, you know, like the Ten Commandments, but sometimes they can be things God is, you know, specifically telling us to do, things he wants us to take action on. And they become commands. In other words, there's something that God is saying. I'm not just suggesting this one. I suggest a lot of things to you, you know, but this one I'm commanding to you. So that's why he says that these commandments, when you obey my commandments, so the things that I'm commanding you, the things that are important, when you do those things, I'm going to bless you. And when we don't do those things, we don't get blessed, right? And so sometimes it's just as plain and simple as the reason we're not being blessed many times is because we're not doing what God has commanded us. We're doing all these other things, but the important things that God's commanded us, like let's take Samson for an example. I've been using him a little bit lately. You know, God had his parents, God commanded them to have their child, Samson, take the Nazarite vow. Well, that meant many different things. Don't drink wine. But one of the things was not cutting his hair, right? So you know that that was a command. So as long as they kept that command, they might can mess up on some other things. I mean, not that we ever want to mess up on anything, but if you don't have your everything perfect, but you're doing what God has commanded you to do, he says, if you do what I command you, to my commandments, the things I command you to do, all these blessings will come upon you. And so as long as Samson, you know, let his hair grow. You know, we know what happened to Delilah. Delilah talked him out of the secret, and the secret was, if you cut my hair, I lose my power. And so what happened? That command, that thing that God commanded him, he opened up to breaking that command. And once that command was broken, you know, he'd probably done some things that he shouldn't have been doing. I don't know exactly what he was doing. He was no human being is perfect, but you know, there was that one thing God commanded him, don't cut your hair. It's a Nazarite vow. And because of that, when he let the hair grow, as long as his hair was long, God commanded him to do, Tony, the power of God was on him. You know, and when he didn't, then it wasn't. And so we saw that with Delilah, where she, you know, finally talked him out of his hair, you know, his hair secret, secret with his hair. And she cut it off, and of course, Philistines were able to come in and take him over. And so there's things that go on that God gives us to. Sometimes they're just things that God says to do, and he commands us to do it. So anyway, I don't know what's up with that exactly, but there you go. Yeah, all right. All right, my brother, what are you doing over there in Ireland? Hang on a second. Okay, hang on a minute. All right, Tony. Here we go. Hang on. Here we go. All right, Tony.
Amen.
I got you now. All right.
Praise the Lord.
How are you doing, my brother? What's up?
Yeah. Praise God. I'm doing well. Thank God. I'm doing well. No, it's interesting. Like, you're like, they're not, as you said, they're not suggestions. They're commands. Like, you know, the Bible says, fear God, love the brotherhood, honor all men. They're not, you know, it's you know, the scripture doesn't. It's straight, like it's you know, it's God wants us to do them things he tells us to do, and especially with, you know, trying to, when we're trying to listen to his voice, if we're trying to be quiet or we're praying in tongues, and, you know, if we feel God is telling us to do something, you know, it's and I know one thing, there's been one thing I've been, like, what God has showed me, you know, I think, you know, I do prayer walking, I do evangelism, but I do prayer walking. I pray on places that God has showed me to pray, and there's one thing I know he revealed it to me last month, and I haven't gone there yet, but there's other places he showed me. He kind of showed me several things at one time, and I'll just give you an example. So there was, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Stonehenge in England, right?
With what now?
You're familiar with pagan sites, like, that are in Ireland and the UK, aren't you? Like, with the stone circles, or the you might call them circles, but we call them forts. So I know that God has brought me at different times to pray in places like that, you know. And my brother-in-law happens to work for an Irish company, and they maintain some of these old listed buildings or historical sites. And I just give you an example. So anyways, there was one Monday last month in early December that he was working there. I asked him, what was he doing? And he said, we're actually looking after an old wall where one of these forts is. And he said, there's actually four of them there. And I said, okay, that's interesting. So I began to pray about it, and I felt like I should go there. So on the Thursday morning, I phoned him, and I just wanted to get a better idea where the stone circles were, or these circles were. So I rang him, and he told me, give me a better idea. And anyways, I was hitchhiking, and I got a lift pretty close, and I ended up having to walk down that road maybe a mile or a mile and a half. And, oh, sorry, what I didn't say was, he actually rang me back that morning, and he told me he was actually going to be working there that morning. And they do a lot of traveling, Randy, with their work. So I really felt like it was a confirmation that he's going to be there, you know. And plus he's going to tell me exactly where all these sites are, or he's going to tell me exactly where they are, because sometimes if you go to these places, you know what I mean? You can be like, oh, where are the Lord? Where are the Lord? And you're like, where? you know what I mean? But that makes you lean on God too. But anyways, the interesting thing was, Randy, that morning, there happened to be a couple there that morning. And they were there that morning, and the lady was laying seeds and berries on the stones. So she's obviously doing Wicca. She's obviously, you know, doing some sort of occult ritual. But, you know, it was interesting after that. So I prayed on the four sites, and I came down from the land off the field, and I was back on the road. And I didn't fancy walking back up that road a mile and a half, to be honest with you, Randy. And I started hitchhiking straight away on a quiet country road. And glory to God, I got a lift nearly straight away. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So I get a lift up to the nearest, to the next village, and I just notice a building that's there, and it's a restaurant that's, I don't think it's active right now. And the name of the building is, it's an Irish surname, Mellets and the Pyramid Restaurant. And I didn't think too much of it, Randy. But later that night, somebody added me to a Telegram group. I don't know if you're familiar with that app. It's kind of like WhatsApp. But I got added on a Telegram group to something like totally not related to Christianity. I mean, totally not related. And somebody added me to the group. I'm not 100% sure who it was. But the first thing I see, Randy, the first thing I see on this group is they're talking about ley lines. They're talking about them stone. They're talking about them places, the wicked places.
Wow.
And they're talking about the place I was at that day, the Neil, the pyramid.
Oh, no.
So what God was showing me was that there's a pyramid there. There was a pyramid there in the Neil, and I didn't know about it. So I began to research about that area, and there was another thing there as well. But it was very interesting. Also, they talked about something else here in Castlebar, and you're on about a command. So I feel like that's just, it's just a, I feel like what your word was tonight is Tony, get going and start praying in that place, because I haven't prayed it yet. So there was one other place that was revealed and I hadn't done it. So, he reveals these things and he commands us, he wants me to pray there. It's as simple as that. That's the way I see it.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's like the Lord's saying, I've commanded you to do some things and I need you to do them because they're important. And so that story kind of tells it, I think, like what I'm hearing. I mean, I don't think I've ever given a word about somebody God commanding you to do something. I don't think I've ever given a word like that before. I was like a little taken back by it. So it must be really important to the Lord and, you know, what's going on there in Ireland. So I think you're right on.
Right. Like, I mean, the last thing I'll just say is this, like, maybe this is some encouragement for somebody. Maybe somebody's in a, my heart was really going out for that sister there that you were ministering to, and I know what it's like. You know what it's like to go through hard times. I know all our listeners here tonight. We know what it's like to go through a tough place. And for some reason, I'm reminded of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in a dungeon at one stage, you know, and Daniel was in the lion's den. And I know at Christmas time. It was around that time I was praying in them places right after I prayed in them places that I just mentioned there, or some of them places. Right after that, then I got into a lot of warfare with my family, and it was really not nice. And what happened was God was relentless, Randy, to keep showing me the number 8. I mean, I could get into all the little things with the number 8, what he was showing me. But he was really encouraging me with the number 8 with my family, you know, 8 being new beginnings. So anyways, the night before I got into the trials, I was listening to an African man speaking somewhere in the U.S. I forget exactly where, but he was speaking on Daniel 6 with the lion's den, right? And Anyways, I was in the lion's den the Monday. I was definitely in the lion's den the Monday.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So what happened was I knew I had places to pray, but I got to some of these places. But I want to share one thing God did, or two things, sorry. And the first thing was I went to my sister's house, and I was in her bedroom, and there was a Bible, and I went to the Bible and I said, Lord, I really, really need you to speak to me. I really need you to speak to me. And anyways, I opened the Bible, Randy, and it goes straight to Daniel 6.
Oh, wow.
And I see it talks about, and this is exactly what was going on. It was the subheading in this Bible was talking about how they were conspiring against Daniel, and that's exactly what was going on. There was one man, two family members, but one for sure. One was kind of, you know, not good. But God really gave me a heart to pray for the lady, because this lady unfortunately has tried to have an overdose. So I really had compassion for the lady, you know. And right. I knew that if this was accurate, if God was really showing me this was where I was in the lion's den, I knew one thing for sure, Randy. This was going to be a short trial by the grace of God. It wasn't going to be a long, drawn-out thing. But so I had others praying for me. Christians I knew praying for me, and you know I was praying as well. And basically, I wasn't welcome in my house, Randy. My father asked me. He said, "Tony, he said I'd rather you leave the house for a time, you know." And anyways, to cut a long story short, Randy, I didn't really have anywhere to go. I could have gone somewhere up the country to a mate of mine, but I didn't really want to do that, to be honest with you. And this is what I did. I can only tell you what I did. I just waited very, very late at night. And I came in very, very late at night to the house. And I mean, maybe 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And I'd go very early in the morning. And I just made it a point to go, you know, I had these places to pray. I had a few places to go and pray, and I did evangelism another day. But the thing was, every night, Randy, normally the kitchen door is locked, right? Normally, every night it's locked. But every night, Randy, I had no place to go. Every night, glory to God, I had a bed to lie on. I got into the house. The door wasn't locked. I mean, that was the grace of God. You know.
Wow.
And, anyways, what happened? The last thing I want to share is this. So on the Thursday, I think of that week, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, I was hitchhiking again, and this man stopped and he gave me a lift. And who was he, Randy? But he was a Cuban pastor. And I can tell you, Randy, you don't meet many Cuban pastors in Ireland.
Yeah, I would think.
So anyways, he told me he was going to a certain place, Ballinrobe, and I told him I was going to Cross, CROSS. And I told him what I was going doing, and he said, "You know what, let's finish the job, I'll bring you to Cross." So glory to God, he brought me to Cross. But this is where it gets interesting again. I was asking some locals, where is this fort that I need to pray? And anyways, there's a fort where I needed to pray. So I went down the road, and it was, you take a right, you walk down this road. It's a real country lane, it's not a great road. You wouldn't be seeing too many cars on it now. But the sign that was there for the fort is called Bally McGibbon, and the sign had fallen to the ground. And there was a wooden pole there, and it said Heritage Trail and the number 8. And I was like, wow. I mean, you know, it was just another confirmation for me. But anyways, after all that, this is what happened. The next day, the Friday, my father rang my sister, Fiona, and he said, "Tell Tony he's welcome to come home."
Wow.
So anyways, I just wanted to share that. Maybe that's blessed somebody tonight. You know, we need to ask God for grace with people and wisdom with people. But Randy, I just want to pray for you for 2022. And Lord, I just thank you for my brother, Randy. Lord, I thank you for his compassion. I thank you for his heart, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for PGN in 2022, Lord, they go from glory to glory, Lord. They go from strength to strength by your grace, Lord. You'd lead them, you'd guide them. And your word says in Psalm 16:11, "Thou," and I just pray this over Randy and over the other people, "Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So just bless this ministry, Lord. I pray there be many, many Holy Ghost nights of utterance and prayer and encouragement, Lord, in these days, Father, in Jesus' name. So bless every brother and sister that gets on the call,
right,
and everything we do, Lord. It will just be unto you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, my brother Tony from Ireland. So good to talk to you tonight, man. Thanks for calling. Thanks. What time is it there? About 3 or 4 in the afternoon?
4:17 in the morning.
In the morning. Oh, it's in the morning. Okay, not in the afternoon. Morning. That's right. I forgot. You're kind of like
you're okay,
UK,
brother.
Sort of.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye. Night
night. Night night. Night night.
All right. Very good. Let's take our next caller. 111. Who am I talking? Wrong number. All right, 111. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
This is Carmen. God bless you, Prophet Randy.
Hey, Carmen. You're 111 tonight. Congratulations. 111 is always a good number. All right, let's mute you for a second. And let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for Carmen tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the heartbeat of America. We thank you, Lord, for the heartbeat of America, for the heartbeat of your people, for the heartbeat of things that are going on. And for the heartbeat of God, like God's putting his heart within you to feel and know what God's heart is towards someone or something. And speaking his heart to you and confirming his heart to you about America, what God's heart is for America, and bringing America to that place to where God can do the next thing he's going to do, and God calling you to rule and reign with him in the area of in the heart of God, what's the heart of the situation? What's the root of what God is trying to do in something? Instead of looking at everything as the answers that are not the root of the problem, are going to what the answer really is, what God says the answer is, doing all these other things and spending all this time and money and effort and prayer on things that are not the heart of the issue. And God's showing you how to go to the heart of the issue of things, how to cause people to see what the heart of God is. What's God's heart about this? What does he really want from America? What does he really want from us? And God really opening you up to the heart of God, Carmen, like never before, to know the heart of the issue. Okay, got all this other stuff going on. Somebody says this, but what is it really? What's the heart of the issue here? And you birthing your heart within her, Father, in Jesus' name, where she can feel your heartbeat, know what you feel, know what you, what's, Jesus always gave the heart of God. He always did what he saw the Father do, what the real answer to the problem was, sometimes it was to be a demon. Sometimes it would just be that they needed to be healed. Sometimes it was, put something, dirt on their eye. And let them go wash in the pool, into a pool, and wash their eye off with the dirt that he put on them, and it brought healing. So Jesus walked in the heart of God, and because he did, that's why miracles happen. So I thank you, Lord, for opening Carmen up to the heart of God for America, what you want to do in America, what the real thing you want to do with America is, instead of what everybody else thinks, what everybody else is thinking is going on, and the heartbeat of God. Amen. All right.
Yeah.
Carmen,
wow.
What are you doing over there? Yeah.
What am I not doing? I a lot of it I don't understand. I'm kind of that last caller called. That gives me a little perspective too, because that's where the Lord has been taking me. I don't understand everything. Later on, He tells me, He shows me, but sometimes it's through obedience first. And you, when you know that you know he's telling you, you have to, even if you don't understand it, you got to go and do it. because you trust him and you know that he's got something good planned, and even though you don't understand it, it's going to turn out
right.
good. So
right.
I'm at that place, and I mean, it can be exciting and fun, but at times you're like, what's
yeah.
going on? You know, because I'm the type that I like to know. I don't know about everybody else, but I like to know. I like to have my ducks lined in order. I have plan A, plan B, and plan C.
Sure.
I don't like surprises, you know, especially,
yeah.
you know, ugly surprises that seem ugly. But
yeah.
That's where I'm at. And, yeah, he's showing me about the government, and now he's taking me to another realm with the religion, and I don't understand that either, but I guess God is showing me the different systems of the world, I guess,
yeah.
Because that's what it seems like, there was something that happened. I went to the supermarket because I really don't have much to spend on, so I try to be frugal, but eat healthy. So I went to one of my Whole Foods to look for certain types of food, you know, food, good food, life
food. Right.
And so I noticed one of the pastors that I, the daughter of one pastor that I used to go to his church before, and I never see this lady anywhere. And I was seeing her, and I was bumping into her into the supermarket constantly, to the point where I said, oh, I better find another place to go because she's going to think I'm following her. And I'm like, why am I bumping into her? I just had this feeling.
Yeah.
Why am I bumping? I went to get my salad, and there she was too. And I was like, oh, great. You know, it just seemed like the more I tried to, you know, not find her, I would find her. So
yeah.
Eventually I let her, you know, go ahead and do whatever she had to do and leave. And then I was more relaxed. And so I left. But then I was looking for work, and for some reason, in my spirit, the Lord was saying, find work in a church setting. And I'm like, a church setting? I go, okay. So I started doing that, and I applied. I mean, it's a lowly job for other people, but it's a job that'll pay your bills. And sure enough, the next day they called me, and they wanted me to go for an interview. And where is it? At that same pastor's daughter's church. Uh-huh. And I'm like, well, Lord,
that's
there's got to be something to all of this. So I'm obedient. It's not much, but it's very little, you know, but I know that God will make miracles with what you got. And I know that I'm in the right place. As long as I'm in the right place, I know I'm in a good place. Now it's the religious realm that God is taking me in. I don't know what. And maybe it's just a prophetic act that I'm going to do, just like I did with the government side of things. He has me now praying for our city and those that are governing in the city and those that are getting elected. I don't understand it all. I can't say that I do. But I know, I mean, it's fun at the same time, but at the same time, I'm like, God, what are you doing? I like to know. You know, I like to know ahead of time, but sometimes
yeah.
he doesn't. Sometimes he doesn't. But you walk by faith.
Right, right. Well,
so
think about what you're saying. As I'm listening to you, what you're saying and seeing the word that I received for you about the heart of God, the heart of God, the heart of God. The heart of God's not the mind of God. I mean, you know, of course they work together, but at the same time, dealing with you as a human being is like the Lord is saying, I'm not going to let you function from your mind right now. You're not going to be able to figure
mm-hmm.
it out. You're not going to be able to, because I'm showing you how to think from your heart and in a new way from the heart mm-hmm. of God. He's going to, you know, show you a deeper level of going from the heart of God, not where you can't figure it all out. You know, God does me the same way sometimes, and I love being able to know, like you said, figure it all out, know what's going on. And sometimes he allows it to happen for us. But the other times it's kind of like he just says, do this by faith, do this by faith, do this by faith. What is that? You're doing things from the heart. It's a heart thing. So just to hearing you talk confirmed to me, from my end, confirmed the word that you're getting tonight from the Lord, that's what he's trying to say. It's that he's causing you to deal from the heart at a deeper level, you know. Really beautiful.
And it's with service and you know, a lot of people wouldn't think that that would be a good job to do, but I go wherever the Lord tells me to go. And, you know, it feels good to know where you're supposed to be versus knowing it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's so funny that you kept running across her in the store. I've had the same thing happen to me before in different ways. Everywhere you try not to go, you try to go to that person. I'm going to go to the other end of the store and get away from this, you know, so they won't think I'm trying to follow them, you know. I've had the same thing happen to me. I'm going, and then all of a sudden you get in the line and you look up and there they are, you know. You're like, oh, my God. They think I'm following because it's just like there's something going on, you know. So I love it. At the same time, it's kind of like, you know, because you're thinking, what is going on around here, you know. It's really pretty awesome.
So I get what that young man, Tony, was saying. And sometimes we don't understand why things happen in our surroundings. Sometimes the enemy will try to confuse you, and you may be in line with what God is telling you to do, and it all falls in, but then it's not the way that you think it's supposed to be, and you're like, what? What? It leaves you a little bit baffled. I've had certain situations where the Lord will give me a word, and then it'll come out the way the word says, but then the outcome is different, and I'm like, but Lord, you said, I don't understand that, but I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for, things not yet seen. So it will be seen. So like prayer for my daughter. She's kept away. She's just, she's processing everything that's happening to her. I know that God has to, what you were preaching about, that's exactly what is going on with her. And I'm really careful how I pray because I've been praying for the whole family. And so so that they draw closer to God and those that don't know God to know God. And I got my wish. My dad received the Lord while he was alone with you a few days. But I had to get stern and tell him some truth. And but then grace kicked in, and the Lord, you know, I presented the gospel to my dad, and he understood, you know. And so at first I didn't think, well, maybe he just did that just to please me, but there has been a change. His behavior is very different. I mean, it's still improving, but it has been a big improvement. Yeah. And so, like that young man, there's some things behind the scenes that I've been sensing about family members and things that are. And just tonight, they called me. My sister and my brother called me. And all of a sudden, before, they didn't want to include me in onto any decision-making. They left me out in the cold, but I kind of find it odd. I'm not too, I'm not too trusting of what's going on. I just feel something in my spirit, and I'm praying against whatever it is that the enemy, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we, you know, we're going to get into the enemy, because he's the one that manipulates people. So I want prayer for my family that God gives us a good outcome. I gave wisdom tonight to them, and I explained some things that needed to be done. They did the things that they never thought of in all this time, and yet God just, you know, blah, 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 blah. This is what we got to do, blah, 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 blah. And they were all in agreement, but at the same time, I'm a little concerned with the ease that it went through, you know? There was no arguing, no anything. I'm not sure, but I had talked with my dad about the whole situation that he said, apparently the inheritance was going to be left to my sister. And I was like, well, I don't need nobody's money. Even though I don't have any, I bless you. A child is supposed to bless their parents, not take from them. The only blessing that I want is for you to leave us a godly legacy. That's more valuable to me than money. And It was shocking
right.
because he was saying that everybody was asking for handouts or their inheritance ahead of time. And so they're all fighting, I guess, for money. Yeah, I'm not. And I've helped them, and I don't owe anybody anything except to love them. And I just don't want my family to be like this. And I was stern with him, and I told him, you know, you can't divide. You divide when you start having favoritism. And
yeah.
I go, look at the patriarchs in the Bible. You know, they messed up when they started favoring one over the other. I go, that's not what God calls us to do. You're supposed to love everybody equally, you know, your children equally. Bring unity in the family, not divide the family. So
yeah.
it shocked my dad. He was like, you know, I made a big mistake, he told me. I made a big mistake. So I don't know what he's going to do or what. But he goes in and out, you know, in his mental state. And I don't know if it's because of dehydration or just, you know, that his mental state is going. But I don't want anybody to take advantage of him in this position. And I know that people are
yeah.
wanting big dollar amounts. I mean, thousands of dollars. And
right.
Prophet Randy, I don't need all that. Not that way. I know my God can provide for everything I have.
Right. Yeah, it's all that stuff gets pretty messy, and, you know, God can use it to deal with people, and, you know, those things happen. It's really that's the family stuff, man. It's just, I mean, look what Jesus dealt with his family. I mean, he was the very Son of God. His own brothers mocked him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they doubted him. You know, all kinds of things go on in families. And so, yeah, it's nothing new, but we just, I think the main thing is, like you said, is keep our own hearts right with God and pray that, you know, that advantages don't get taken care of, that they aren't successful. Because people are always going to try to take advantage of things, especially in family situations. It's a pretty common thing. But we just pray that it's not successful. So I just come in agreement with you on that, Carmen, that God, that the strategies of the enemy, the flesh, the greed, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all that it not be successful. It's always going to try. It's a whole other thing for it to be successful. And we thank you, Lord, that what's going to be successful is Carmen. If she's going to meditate on your word day and night, like you told Joshua, in the midst of this battle, this overwhelming walls of Jericho, where you got walls and walls and walls of family inheritance, from genetic things to physical things to all that stuff. And Lord, you're the only one that can handle that thing. We just lift it up to you. I thank you for giving Carmen the strength to praise you and worship you so that
mm-hmm.
yes, we know
yeah.
the enemy's going to strategize, but we pray that he will not be successful. In the name of Jesus, and that God Almighty will be glorified, and that the word of the Lord will come forth in her and her father's life and in her family in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, and about my daughter, God confirmed something that I had already told her about unforgiveness. And I had a pastor that used to be my pastor. He was from Africa, and he's in Europe right now. And he sent me an email because I let them know to pray for her. And the same exact thing that I had told her, he sent her a text message, an email saying the same thing. So it was a confirmation
wow.
of what
yeah.
what
awesome.
The Lord has been showing me. So for God to help her to, you know, come to that place where she, you know, the enemy doesn't continue holding her and, you know, all her blessings, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We know the enemy's going to attack us, but the success thing, that's what we are believing God for, is that God will be successful. We're more than conquerors, and that we know we're in a battle, we're in warfare. The Bible talks about that. We're very aware of that. But we also know that we're more than conquerors, and we thank you, Jesus, that you're going to bring answers through whoever you choose to bring to Carmen. But we thank you for all of it. And we give you the glory and the credit for what you're doing, Jesus, and that it will be successful. Your will be done. And like the message tonight when we came on, the Lord had me speak about that, about Sometimes God brings drought into people's lives in one form or the other. And in God's eyes, it's a miracle. He's working a miracle. He's doing miracle things that look negative, but they're there to make a miracle, to work a miracle. So we thank you, Jesus, that you're giving Carmen the insight on all that and allowing you to bring those droughts and to let those situations. And sometimes people have to suffer in order for them to wake up. That's what happened with Elijah. That's why mm-hmm. God had Elijah bring the drought on Israel, because they needed to be awakened up. It was a horrible time. It was 3.5 years of no water, no rain, no nothing. It was suffering. People were fearful. Food, people were dying. It was a devastating time. It looked horrible. And yet God is the one who had him do it. You know, why? Because he was trying to bring a result because the drought that came and the things that happened during the drought were nothing compared to where they were at spiritually and where they were heading. God says a drought will intervene. A miracle of a drought will awaken them, and it eventually did, though it was difficult. And some people did die. There was a famine. People were dying, and it was very real. And we thank you, Lord, that in the midst of all the things that you're working in those dark places, that you're going to turn those dark places into treasures into her life, in Jesus' name, and her family's life. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
One more thing
before I go. Your message was so similar to what I gave on Saturday. They were alike, slightly different, but it's just to prove that it's the Holy Spirit I'm speaking.
Awesome. Yeah. Wow, I did not know that. That's cool. Yeah.
Almost the same scriptures, too.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, so it's a confirmation that I was on target and we're on target with what
yeah.
the Spirit of God is saying. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it
well,
cool?
God bless
God
you, Brother
Randy. Thank you so much, Carmen.
Yeah,
that was really awesome. Congratulations. All right. I love that. You all hear that? Yeah, she does. Carmen does shows on Saturdays. And if you don't get our text alerts, get them because we'll let you know when they're on. But she comes on Saturdays at 9 p.m. And it prays and ministers to people and shares and does all kinds of things. And like she said, she just shared things that we share tonight in a little bit different way, but same thing. So take my next caller. I don't know where all the callers went with their hand up, but they either had to go or something. But 940-224, who am I talking to right from, please?
Yes, this is Michael from Texas.
Hey, Michael, good to have you. Let's meet you. Just for a second, we're going to pray for you and come back and we can talk for a little bit. Thank you, Jesus, for a house. God, you're trying to build Michael a home, not just a house to live in, but you're building in him an atmosphere of a home, of a house, of a place of blessing, of a place of security, of a place where he can have family, where a place where he can, you know, raise children and be a blessing and have fun and raise kids and go to church and serve Jesus and walk with God. Well, I thank you that you're creating a household for him in Jesus' name, and that you have even a physical house for him to live, even a place for him to dwell and have family and all that. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening that up in the name of the Lord. Amen. What's going on, my brother? What are you doing down there in Texas?
Well, I've just been basically trying to serve God and work and become a better, I guess, salesman and just be more successful at what I do.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. I've been trying to get closer to God, but I've been having just lots of temptation come my way and then dreams, but in my dreams, it's just bad dreams, like dreams of me getting locked up and going to prison or dreams of me being homeless again. So I think it's kind of weird. It's kind of,
yeah.
It's like the devil is trying to come at me.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like to me that you're what's happening is you're breaking out of that. You're breaking out of that place and Satan's going, oh no, you don't. We're not going to let you go that easy. You know what I mean? It's like the it's like God showing you the intentions of the enemy and what a liar, what a thief he is, you know, because you're learning, you're growing. And when you learn and you grow, you come out of that stuff. And so he tries to hold you back with fear, using fear as a strategy, don't you think?
Well, yes. But you know, I heard last conversation you were talking about family and like, I still feel like I'm a black sheep in my family. My family hasn't hit me up or texted me or called me to ask how I'm doing or anything of that nature. So it makes me feel like, it makes me feel like the enemy is plotting. I mean, it makes me feel like maybe my family members might be being manipulated against me or towards me. So
right. Yeah, I think the plans of the enemy are being crushed. I think the plans of the enemy are being destroyed. I think the plans of the enemy, and that's what I see trying to resurrect its ugly head, is because he's like freaking out because you're going to move on. You're moving on past all this. It's a difficult thing. You're breaking out of the framework that the enemy had tried to construct you and put you in. You know, put you in like a prison or something. Like, this is the way your life is going to be. This is the way it's going to be. And he's a liar. He's a thief, man. Right?
Oh, yes. But, yeah, besides that, I've just been seeking after God, you know, because I just want, I guess, more revelation. I mean, a cool thing that's been happening in this season is once a week I've been meeting up with some Ba'Allah believers. I mean, they believe in Christ being Lord, but they kind of have a different mind, slightly different mindset. So, like, me being a Christian, I'm going over there and talking more about Christ and, you know, bringing up more of the Bible and things of that nature.
What do they talk about?
They talk about Christ, and then they also talk about different manifestations of God, like different prophets that are sent to the earth and things of that nature. And stuff like that.
I don't think I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah.
It's not biblically based. It's just kind of like they have their own Bible or something, or what?
They use scriptures in the Bible, but like it seems like they go off like more like of they go off scriptures and they go off teachings of Christ, but it seems like they go off other teachings of other prophets also, that's what it seems like. I don't know how to put it in words.
Right, yeah. So it's kind of odd.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? What are you doing hanging around those guys? Is something God's telling you to do, or you just happen to trip across them, or what?
I've came across them, but, like, we've had, I guess, conversations. I've had conversations about the Christ with them in the Bible, and they bring up their conversations and just things of that nature.
Okay. Interesting. Well, maybe you learn some things out of it. You know, nothing wrong with I've talked to all kinds of people about stuff, and, you know, God can be making you stronger in the Word to stand up for things, talk about the dream things you're having. I used to have, you know, every once in a while, I'll have dreams of things that happened years ago with people that were, you know, long, long time ago. I mean, like back in the days when I was a heathen, you know, and try to bring condemnation and fear on me. I mean, you know, 20, 30 years later, it's just crazy. And so I began to realize that what he was trying to do to me was the enemy, and sometimes not just always the enemy, but sometimes things inside of me that had not given those, I haven't given those things over to God, right? And so so like the Lord's showing me, I said, God, whatever, when those things that come up, I say, God, whatever's going on, whatever, if I've got something inside me that is not letting that go or fears that or whatever, just help me. Just that simple, and I move on. And don't let it drag me back or draw me down or whatever.
Oh, yes. And then all the, and then also I had one, I had prayer for others. Like, I wanted you to pray for like two or three people I know.
All right.
I wanted prayers for Jasmine, Angelica,
okay.
And then Shelly.
Angelica?
Yes.
And Shelly?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the first one was Jasmine?
Jasmine. Yes, sir.
Yeah, got it. Okay. Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to mute you so I don't have any background noise. Hang on a second here. I'm going to mute you just for a moment. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Jasmine. Father, we thank you for Jasmine. We lift her up to you tonight, God. We thank you for drawing her to you. Draw the worshiper out of her, Father, like the woman who met Jesus at the well. And he spoke to her and said, you know, go tell your husband, you know, whatever. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. She says, yeah, you've had five. And that kind of thing, where there was an encounter with Jesus, where Jesus read her mail. And I thank you, Lord, for Jasmine, God, that you call her a worshiper. There's a worshiper inside of her, God. And I thank you for letting her have an encounter with you, Jesus, to the point to where she realizes that you know her. You know her life. You know her failures. You know her faults. You know her, and you love her and you care for her, God. Open Jasmine up to that realm of the Spirit, God, of your grace and your favor. In Jesus' name, she's a worshiper, God. Hallelujah. And draw her near to you, Father. Angelica, Father, we think we're Angelica, Father, that you, that the fears and the things that she's had as issues with parents, maybe father issues and things that gone on in her younger days, that with her parental situation and people in her family. Lord, I thank you for the hard. Somebody was really dealt maybe hard with her or harsh with her, maybe harsher than she needed, you know, harsher than she wanted, because she needed more gentleness and more kindness and more loving correction than harsh correction. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a healing in her life, Father, and blessing her, Father, in Jesus' name, making her heart, taking that hardness that tries to, you know, make her feel like she's unworthy, to know that she is worthy because you gave your life for her, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And for Shelly, Lord, thank you for Shelly tonight. Hallelujah. God, that out of the belly of Shelly shall flow rivers of living water. God, I loosen the power of the Holy Spirit in her. I loosen the worshiper inside of her. I loosen the rivers of living water to flow up out of Shelly, God. Out of her belly so she can tell the truth, so she can tell people what they need to know, so she can tell them about Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for those rivers of living water rising up out of her, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To sustain her, to bless her, to keep her, to watch over her, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Michael, anything else?
Amen. It's just prayer that God brings me a wife.
Yes, Lord, and that... Let that wife be brought to her, brought to my brother, God, that she will be drawn to him, Father, that you will begin to build Michael's house. You build a house by having a wife, right? You build a house by having a wife and children and family and money and situations where God is providing the things that go in the house, the furniture, the utensils, everything, Father. And she began to build Michael's house, Father, in the name of Jesus, beginning with the wife and the job and the money and the situation and in the name of the Lord God. He's breaking free in Jesus' name, and he will never, ever go back. Never in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, my brother, anything else?
Thank you. I mean, that's all.
All right. Thank you. All right. Enjoyed it, man. Thanks for calling and let me know how you're doing.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Let's go here to 804-214-218.
You say it 804-218.
I believe I did. Is that Angie from Virginia?
It is me. They ain't but one of me.
I know. That's what I was thinking. This is the one and only.
That's right.
Hallelujah. All right. Let's pray for you. Girl, good to have you tonight. Let's pray. I'm going to meet you for a second. And let's pray for you. God, I hear the sounds of heaven. I hear the sounds of heaven. I hear the sounds of heaven coming down to you, coming down to you, coming down to you, like Jacob's ladder, that place of Jacob's ladder, where, Father, there was a portal where your glory, your angels are delivery, or like FedEx, Amazon, whatever, they come and deliver the things that Christ has provided for us. Thank you, Lord, for that open heaven, Father, over her. Thank you, Lord, for that provision. Thank you for that place of coming down from heaven, the deliveries of God being made to my sister, Father. In the name of Jesus, let there be that open heaven. Let that be that space of heaven. All of a sudden, like there's a hole in the sky, and out comes a ladder, and the ladder brings it's that connection from heaven to earth for Angie, Father, in Jesus' name, the spirit of worship, the spirit of change, the spirit of rearranging, Father, and recalculating things and readjusting things, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the kingdom of God has come upon the earth. Let thy king, Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Let it be done, Father, for my sister tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, Angelina, what's going on over there?
Well, that's what I prayed today. So you prayed it again. So that's good. We're two agreed.
Really?
It's done. Yeah, I was just praying, you know how you can have your own will. And then you got to put that down and say, you know what, I know, sorry about the cough. I know that, I know what I want, you know, to a certain degree. But there are lots of times that I think I want something that I really didn't want that. So.
Hey, me too. A time or two.
I bet you I've had more of those than you have. Want to start counting? So.
Yeah, anyway. We might be here for a while if we did that. I don't know.
Yeah, and more of the people are either shock them, one of the two.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do.
Yeah. Or identify with them.
So.
Yeah.
Right. So.
So what's going on over there? What are you doing? Yeah.
Well, I think I was collecting some juniperberries, and I just read that in Texas they call it cedar something, and it's a high, you know, allergic thing. And I think I got it all caught, yeah, inflamed myself. I think I might be allergic to cedar tree pollen, collecting juniper berries.
Well, how's it affecting you?
Well, I think it's just got down in my lungs.
Oh, okay.
You know how pollen, and this is their pollen time, too. But, the cone is starting to open up, but you're supposed to harvest them. You're supposed to harvest them at the end of December. So, you know, I'm a little late.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
So I'm trying to do lots of little things to stop the reaction.
The reaction to the being allergic to
pollen breathing all that pollen in, because you beat the tree to get the berries out, so you're.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
You shake that tree. So
yeah.
Anyway, I think I got some down in my lungs and that aggravated it. So we're kind of fighting it a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, my.
But you can pray for it if you want to.
That's just what I was thinking. Let's pray about that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Lord, we just thank you for settling that down, for letting her body counteract that, to let her immune system reverse that by the Holy Spirit, by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let that reversal begin, Father. Let the blessing of heaven come down in her soul, in her body, in her lungs, Jesus, and cause her to see and know that you are moving and touching her, Father, in Jesus' name. And let her lungs end up being clearer than ever. Let her lungs end up being better than ever. Let her body be better than ever, Father, in Jesus' name. We just declare and decree that in the name of Jesus, a reversal. This thing right now to clear that out, to make her lungs whole, to make her body whole, that her reaction will be to counteract that situation in Jesus' name. Let it be clear and whole, and I speak peace and settle down in Jesus' name. I speak a settling and a peace in those lungs, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, and in her mind, God, a peace and a rest in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow.
I know. You got church on that one.
I did.
Oh, man. Sorry, I didn't mean to church you.
Messing with me.
Just a little bit. That's what happens when you pray for folks. Sometimes you have to get in there and wrestle with them, huh?
That's right. Yeah, I had kind of a little bit of a lung thing for the last 10 years or so. Nothing bad, but it's like sometimes it's better than others. Sometimes it's worse. Depends on what's going on. But, yeah.
Well, I think the hernia.
I have left that I know of is that. It's really been messing with me. It messes with me sometimes, very little bit.
Yeah, I think the hernia, because I got a large, hernia that they say they're going to fix, and I say, I think I know somebody's a better fixer than you, so we're going to hold out.
Oh, you have one of those, huh? Wow.
Yeah, and it puts pressure on in that area, too, because it's pretty substantial.
Oh, wow.
From the surgery
we
had.
Just thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I can tell you
when they put something when they put something on your stomach, for the bathroom and stuff, that ain't living water. I had to go through some serious mental adjustment on that.
Wow, I can imagine.
Yeah, and then they reversed it. So, but after the reversal is when it ripped. So.
Oh.
I have a hernia on the, yeah. So.
Hey. So did it show up like in your belly area somewhere, like show up in your belly button area, or where'd you show up at?
Well, it's above my belly button up into my chest. It's pretty substantial, you know. It's like, you know, my friend goes, "That's getting kind of big." I said, "Yeah, I see it too, you know." I said, "But it's gonna go down. So it's gonna go down, or I'm gonna go down. I ain't going in."
Yeah.
You know, we're at a standstill on this one.
Yeah. What do they do with that? Just how do they fix?
Well, they go back. They could go back in and they add. Well, they put it all back in place and put a mesh over it.
Oh, mesh.
You know,
yeah.
And they put mesh in there, but they've had trouble with that. The old timey doctors, when they did the repair, they would stitch it. So,
right.
And it should have been there should have been something done other than what they did, but, you know, I can't go back and undo. I should have had better results than what I got, but, you know, that's what happens when you're non-insured and.
Yeah.
Saying, "Oh my God, would somebody just help me? I don't care what you do. You need to cut me there or slit my throat, but do something."
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. What was that comedian that says that told the story about old John coon hunting? And when he had toenails so long he could climb a tree as good as a bear. And he got up in there and he got to wrestling and he said, "Lord have mercy, somebody shoot up in here and give one of us some relief." It was one of those moments.
Yeah.
I don't care which one you hit, just hit something.
Yeah, just take somebody out.
Yeah, just do something.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Wow.
But.
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing a little rearranging, and it was funny that you said, what was it? How'd you put it? Redecorate, maybe, or something to that effect, or
yeah, something like
rearranging.
That.
Rearranging. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I've been working on that. I've been,
slowly.
Yeah, moving things around, getting rid of some old papers and. Moving things to another location, you know, that it's not in the mainstream, you know.
Okay.
Like medical records from Michael. He's been dead for 7 years. I don't think I'm going to need them right now. I put them up in the attic.
Right, right, yeah.
Just in case. You never know what would come up, so, you know,
yeah.
I'll have them there in case something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, whatever. I've been working with one of my loved ones, and you know, trying to get their house in order and stuff, and just you know, working on things that I know how to do, and so it ended up being a lot bigger job than I thought. And so what we did was we put some of those like records, you know, things that legal things, you know, stuff that they thought they might want, you know, put them up in the attic. Is what we did. We just got through doing that. Last week or so.
Yeah, that's. I've been moving paperwork, you know, from the IRS stuff since I've already filed, and they didn't do anything different than with me not filing, so I don't even know why I paid the extra money to file. So, you know, I just stuck it all up in the attic in case you want to come fight, because I'm ready to fight you if you want to.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
You know. But I don't think nobody's coming. I don't think this fish moves that kind of water.
Right.
Cost them too much. Who knows?
Yeah. 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 You never.
Unless they need bait to get the bigger fish, and I don't have none of that either. I don't know where you're going to toss me.
Right. Interesting. Very interesting. Wow.
So,
all right.
I visited one of my friends today, and she was going through a rough time and able to hold her. another friend's husband passed away. It was very fast. And I knew the Lord was going to take him home, but they didn't want to hear that. So all I could do was just pray, you know. I just said, just turn your face towards one another is all I can tell you.
All right. Yeah, that's a difficult thing to deal with is when you know something's going on and you can't really tell the people about it, or at least it's not easy to.
Right. Well, I tried, but, it, you know, with every time I still kind of did the prep thing, but it wasn't, I took the sharpness out of it. Like, you know, we all have moments, you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily, the way we think it's going to come is not the way we get it sometimes. It's a different way, and God knows best. You know, and it's not, death is an enemy of God. It's not, but we don't, we transition. We don't die. Our spirit goes to the, you know. And I know that to be true. Mike's did. The dogs followed Mike when he passed.
Right.
So there is a weight. Didn't they say it weighs about 20 grams or something? The spirit man, they weighed when you pass away.
Yeah.
There's a weight that leaves the body.
Yes.
That spirit goes somewhere. You're going somewhere.
Yeah.
It is the
eternal.
Yeah, you're
definitely going somewhere. You're not just sitting there, that's for sure. Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is you don't want to miss out on that. You don't want to miss out on the eternity thing. When you leave this body, you want to make sure you go to the right place. That is for sure.
Yeah. And Mike was a happy guy when he left. He was ready. But, of course, he did several trips before he left.
Right.
He had several peaks across. He went over and peeked across the fence a couple of times, quite a few times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. My family has had me buy more funeral clothes than any woman anybody I know. I've been buying funeral clothes since probably 1988, off and on.
No way. Oh, my God.
Well, yes, my friend in the back over here, she goes, girl, every time I turn around, you would go on and get you a funeral dress.
Yeah.
My mom was like, you need to go get you a dress for the funeral. So we go get a dress.
Wow.
I don't even know why I have all the dresses, because I don't really wear dresses. I'm more of a pants person. But I got funeral clothes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. My gosh.
That's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I have to talk about. I just say you got to be ready, and you don't know when it's coming. And, you know, I can tell you that I went to their house, and, you know, 3 months ago, and he was fine. They were coming back.
Right.
I babysitted their animals. They came back from the trip. He was carrying suitcases. Less than 2 weeks later, he was in the hospital, and it was pancreatic cancer, and took him out. Took him out the day after Christmas.
With what?
Pancreatic cancer.
Oh, pancreatic, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even know that he had it?
No, he was fine. I mean, no. Uh-uh. Oh,
my gosh. What did he do to prop that on? Did there was anything he had? Did he have any?
Well, I mean, he was a naval guy, so he was exposed to a lot of different chemicals in his life. But him and his wife were like health nut, vegan, supplement crazy. I mean, you know, own chickens, you know what I'm saying? So. But
didn't help them much, did it?
Well, it may have, because he could have died. He could have died and left his wife and children, his wife to raise his children.
There you go.
All of his
true,
children were grown. you know, yeah. And, you know, the extension, the goodness of God allowed him to get to the point where he could provide a good retirement money for his wife to sustain her, you know.
Very true. That's a good way to think about it, yeah.
You know, we have to look through some of the stuff to find the goodness. And then
true.
Gold
really
has
true.
To be dug. Gold has to be dug.
Yeah.
Or what is it? Or filtered out from the, you got to filter it out. You got to get your pans out and work it.
Yeah.
But I really think that he probably would have been one of those that had died in his 40s.
Wow.
You know, that's what I would get, you know.
That's a really good way to look at it.
Because I was like, God, you know, I said, God, they were getting ready to have their golden years and, you know, starting to travel and enjoy things. And, you know, he reminded me that he's always good. And his goodness, God, his family was raised. He got to hold his grandchildren and see them, provided well for his wife.
Right.
And that's what I heard. So I shut up on that.
Right, right.
You know.
Interesting. Very interesting, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I see it. Karma's saying, is that military system that people put their trust in?
Well, I mean, when you sign up for service or whatever, and he retired from being, I think, in some type of a form of the service. And when he retired, he went to work for the county or one of the county jobs. But, you know, he was able to raise his family and provide well for them. His wife got to be, you know, take care of the children and raise the children the way they wanted to, all of them in church.
Sounds like pretty good. Yeah, everybody has a little bit different way of living their life out, and so you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, God was could have been preserving his life all that time so they could get all that done. That's really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you think about it, if he'd have died at 40, I would have left his children in poverty.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And a wife, you know, and dusty. Because, it's hard to take on a woman with 5 children.
Wow.
And you know what I'm saying? So that's what I got out of it because of what he was exposed to being on the naval ships. You know, you've got lead paint. You've got welding of metals.
Yeah.
That gas.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know. So.
All right. Well, I think we got this
My daddy was in service. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Oh, was he? Yeah, your daddy.
He was considered a jungle expert. He went to Panama.
Oh. Interesting.
So.
Huh.
But he got something when he was there.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he had
yellow fever.
Some kind of fungus. Well, he had a fungus that he had
Did they ever get rid of it?
Well, I mean, it would be treated from time to time, but, you know, that fungus had an effect on him. And they never, attributed it to his service, but that's the only place he got it. You know, that's where he was wading in swamp water up to his neck. They had to pull the leeches off his back. So, you know,
wow.
You're not going to tell me you didn't get the fungal from the jungle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Huh. Very interesting.
You know, the government has cheated a lot of people out of things by being dishonest with their own people. You know, it's not a very nice system.
Yeah, kind
no
of
matter
ruthless,
how not. How, well, yeah, they paint it pretty. They put pretty words to it.
Yeah. One of these days, God's going to deal with all of it. That's for sure. He's going to
deal
with every bit of it.
Well, it's the day that I think it's a quaking and a shaking, ain't it?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well.
All right, girls.
I love you, Randy. I appreciate you. Stop calling
love
and
you
I
too.
Say
thanks.
Hi.
Thanks for saying hello. I will. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. All right. Let's take let's take another caller tonight. 402-214.
Hey.
Hey, Sharon.
Hi, Randy. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, you're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thank you. Let's pray for you. Thank you for being with us. Sharon from New York. And we thank you, Jesus, for attentive to the things that she needs to be attentive to, and that people around her need to be attentive to the things that they need to be attentive to. And let that should be an awakening, God, to be attentive to one another, to be attentive to the things of God, to be attentive to what's going on in their environment, how to trust God and believe God and do the things that when you work the things of God, when you work the works of God, you know, whatever that is, little, big, it causes things to you know, go right instead of go wrong. And we thank you, Jesus, that it's really simple. That doesn't mean that we don't have battles sometimes and all that, but Satan cannot be successful unless we open up doors at times. So we thank you, Jesus, that you are helping her and her family, helping Sharon and her family be attentive to each other and to the things of God and to how to care for one another and how to be attentive to the things that that you want them attentive to, Father, to spiritually awaken and arise to that new place in their life and a new awareness of your love between them, Father, in Jesus' name, in the whole family realm. Just bless Sharon and her family realm, God, in Jesus' name, with the love of Jesus, with the power of God, with the glory of the Father, and that the Father's Spirit begin to work in her Father and her family, in the name of Jesus, amen. All right, Sharon, what are you doing over there in New York?
Thank you. I'm going to pray about that, you
okay.
know, how to be better, more attentive.
We
I
only
did
down,
want to ask you, Randy, my grandson, my oldest grandson, who
uh-huh.
fought a deadly disease a long time ago, has now got
right.
COVID, and so I was going to ask
wow.
you to pray for him.
How old is he, Sharon?
He just felt terrible today. He went and got a COVID
I mean, how
test
how
at school.
Old is he?
Oh, he's
uh-huh.
13. He's 13.
Oh, he's
but
13
when he was
old?
Six,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, when he was six, he had this deadly disease
yeah.
called HLH, which is actually
wow.
what is happening to a lot of COVID people. Whose immune system is
oh.
like overdoing it, you know, they're fighting
right.
it too much, and you know, the kids that have died, that's what they say they had. So, you know, God healed
oh my
him
gosh.
When he was little, and but he's really wiped out from this. And he, you know, my daughter got him vaccinated a while back. I couldn't do
okay.
anything about it. And
right.
he came through that okay. But, you know, he's got it really bad. I mean, not bad enough to
yeah.
go to the hospital, but he
right.
he has a really good doctor. He is an oncologist. And
uh-huh.
my daughter's going to talk to her tomorrow. Because I do think
okay.
they might have, I think they have some treatment now. But anyway, he came home from school. I mean, the COVID test usually takes a few minutes for it to show up, and his
right.
just immediately,
oh.
you know, like
oh.
blared COVID. So
oh my gosh.
It seems to be mostly upper respiratory, so I'm hoping it's just the Omicron. I don't know. It's, you know,
right.
in New York, they're forcing
yeah.
the kids. I mean, my grandson's teacher had COVID. and a lot of the kids got COVID, but they're still, you know, making the kids go to school and won't let them do remote in most of the places. So, you know, it's just not good. It's all money. They're forcing everybody, you know, to work in their offices instead of remote. And that's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Not when it's one thing, just like, for money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand all that, but if that's what's happening, that's for sure. Yeah, the Omicron doesn't seem to be as bad. I've had family members who have had it. I haven't had it, thank goodness, by his grace, because I went to a conference, an end time conference this weekend. People coughing around me and all kind of, I'm like going, oh my God, you know. It's toxic in this place is what I was thinking. I was telling my friends, I said, man, it's like it's toxic in here. You know, what are we doing in here? And so, yeah, it was just last weekend, right? Yeah. So, but I'm doing good, though. I mean, So, by the grace of God. Yeah. But I mean, I've had friends who've had the Omicron and they don't get too sick, but they feel achy and that kind of thing, kind of like the flu. So that's been going around. It seems like the Omicron is not, it doesn't go to the lungs. So that seems to be making a big difference.
Yeah. I think I have it too. You know, I've had it for a while. You know, it was pretty bad in the beginning, you know, real achy and everything, but, you know, it's better today. I actually walked a little bit today, so. I have all my grandkids, you know, there's four of them. It's a very small space. And we don't know about the others, but it's Gabriel that's hurting right now. So,
13-year-old.
Yeah.
Let's pray for him. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just plead your blood over him, God. We thank you for saving his life before. We give you glory for that. We enter into the glory realm, and we thank you, Father, for the glory of God on Gabriel, God, and just that 13-year-old child. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for sparing him, for completing his life. Let him complete his life in Christ. Lord, let the calling that's in his life draw him to Jesus. Let the calling in his life draw him to fellowship with the Lord. Let the calling in his life, God, bring him to that place of knowing that you're real and that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And that he doesn't just save us from sin. He saves us from all kinds of things. He heals our body. He delivers our soul. He helps us with money. He helps us with finances. He helps us with emotionally, mentally, battles we go through. Lord, let that calling in his life come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, that was interesting. A calling?
No, it doesn't surprise me a bit. Yeah. From the moment he was born, he's very special, and I really know that there's a lot of attack on my poor grandkids. It's just making me mad. So... the calling doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I mean, I very seldom ever
and he's
call
getting,
people have,
he's,
yeah.
He's really getting no training or no help at all. You know, he doesn't get to go to church. He doesn't, you know, he did it when he was younger, but he's really not being raised in that environment. So, but
right.
He's still, you know, he's drawn towards the whole.
Oh, really?
He's special. Yeah, he's special. So I don't doubt at all that he has a calling.
Yeah.
That's why.
I mean, it just came.
That's why.
It just came right out of my mouth, man. I mean, just like. Boom, calling, calling, calling. You said it over and over and over again. Yeah. That's very unusual for me to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you so much. Yeah. That's a really good confirmation for me. But, you know how that is. You were just talking about it. You know, you get attacked. when you just can't. I just can't give up this time. You know, that's what happened to me when I was getting praying so much and getting so close to God. I just started getting attacked so bad, and I got scared. I literally stopped praying because every time I pray, I was getting attacked, and I got scared. I just didn't know any better. This time around, I'm having a hard time, but I'm not going to run away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Very interesting. Calling, you say his name is Gabriel?
Yes. Gabriel.
We'll have to remember that. Gabriel. Wow. Yeah, that was, I heard myself say that. I'm thinking that was a little surprising, actually. I was like going, the calling. Like, oh, my gosh, okay, Lord, we got it. Thank you. My gosh, Lord, can we ask you to.
We need those prayers so that he can continue his calling.
Yeah, and that you never know how God might do it. He might not allow him to be taught the way that everybody else is taught. God may teach him in a completely different way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes
people, I do.
Yeah, he calls them and he has a little bit different route for them than others who were obviously called and went into it and whatever, you know. So we need to give room for that, as you know.
Yeah, you know, I don't get to talk to him very often. He doesn't really talk, you know, 13-year-old boy, because he's been, you know, he's private. But the times I have gotten to, such a blessing. You can't believe how deep this kid is, you know, how wise he is, you know. And he'll do things that, like, shocked his mother. And she was also very blessed as a young child. But, I mean, it was just this summer, I think. There was a kid, and he was a refugee. And I don't remember what country he's from, but in New York, that's the one blessing. It is definitely a melting pot. You can meet people from everywhere, you know. I mean, I met this couple the other day, and they told me the country. I don't even know where these countries are, you know, where they're from. But anyway, this child was sad. You know, their family was having a really hard time, his family. And he was Gabriel's age. And he was mentioning to him how he's trying to work. He's too young to work, but he's trying to work so that he could buy his mother a microwave, right? And Gabriel happened to find a microwave. It was, like, brand new, and it worked perfect. And so, and it was big and kind of heavy. And without even talking to anybody, he picked up that microwave, and he carried it, you know, several blocks. To this child's house.
Wow.
For him. You know, and then he also got him some other things for their family. And, I mean, he didn't tell anybody he was doing this. I mean, the way my daughter found out about it was through someone else. I mean, Gabriel never even told her the kind of person he was. And some kid brought a knife to his school, was going to kill a friend of his, and he interceded and told the guy that the kid wasn't at school that day, that he wasn't there to make him leave. I mean, he truly, it's in his soul.
Yeah.
Very,
well, I mean,
very special.
Yeah, after what I'm hearing tonight about, I mean, I don't think you've ever mentioned that kid before, as far as I know. You might have, but
not like this, no.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't remember. We may have prayed for him before. I don't remember, but I'm not saying you haven't. I really don't remember, but yeah, I mean, that's the first time. I don't know. That's very unique.
He didn't tell you what kind of calling, did he?
Just the well, I think in the calling that I was in the part of the calling that I was praying over, I can't remember exactly the words that were being said. You might go back and listen to it, but
yeah.
But it sounded, you know, kind of priestly like. I mean, as far as, you know,
right,
being a servant of God, yeah, like, you know,
right.
I know there's many different kinds of servants, but
wow.
I had to
wow.
go back and listen to the exact way that it came out when he said calling.
You know, my
to...
son. My
yeah.
son had that same calling.
Oh, really?
I don't know if he ever would have, you know, fulfilled that or not, but I do know that he came back to God before he died. And on his, we were remodeling, and I had let him, you know, we were pulling the drywall, and I let his friends,
yeah.
I told him, you know, you and your friends can write or do whatever you want, you know, on the walls. And he was writing appointments. He would write some, you know, like appointments and things, people's phone numbers on the wall.
Uh-huh.
And after he died, oh. I was looking, and he had an appointment with this, like, head priest in Omaha. And
oh.
he had the date and the time written down that he was going to meet with this priest. I know. Because I've met with this priest, and he worked at the chancellery. It wasn't just a priest at a church. It was a
right.
higher-up priest. And I have no idea what the appointment was going to be about.
Right,
but,
right.
you know.
Interesting.
My son didn't tell me a lot either. But thank you so much for praying for him and, you know, they're all in such close contact. One gets it, you know, the others. But, no, when he was
yeah.
so sick, I mean, they measure levels, you know, and he went through chemo and steroids and everything. But
oh
his
my.
Levels were so high, and the disease he had, it's called HLH, is worse than cancer, Randy. I mean, it's much worse because cancer usually starts in one spot and then can spread.
Yeah.
other spots, but it's not an all at once thing usually. And
right.
HLH is an all at once thing because
oh
what
my.
Happens is oh. the histamine just starts attacking all the organs at once in the body because it has to do with the T cell, just
goodness.
Like
yeah.
Yeah. So he was really super
wow.
sick and his, you know, his like numbers were off the chart, really high, like 80,000 or 800,000, something like that, this one particular
yeah.
thing.
Right.
And somebody said, you know, God is working a miracle in you. And he said, this was his answer. He's six, okay, in the hospital. It's Christmas.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He said, oh, I know, but sometimes it just takes a while. You know, he had no doubt, no qualms. He was never
yeah.
angry or upset, and you know, it was terrible. Chemo made him sick, and you know, the shots and the blood work
yeah.
and all that. Guess what? That had to have just like ripped at God, because the next day. Christmas Eve, doctor came to my daughter, and he was crying, okay? He's showing her these papers, the lab work. He doesn't understand. It's like completely way down. You know, like if it was 800,000,
wow.
it was down to like 8,000, you know?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they were sending the lab work to Switzerland. To the doctor that discovered AIDS.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And nobody had any reason or reason this happened. And, you know, we just told them it's God. God
yeah.
did it.
That's amazing.
There was no other explanation. But he never doubted. You know, he just, yeah, he's very special. I love him very much. So
you're talking about Gabriel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's very unique. Very beautiful. I don't know. I don't know. I just, I don't think I've ever, you know, with a kid. I mean, I don't remember. I don't know. I can't remember talking like that, calling. And it was like over and over again. The Lord kept saying, the calling. Like, okay, I got it. Come on. That's cool. Really amazing.
Right. And me,
now
attentive,
you know.
I've been,
being attentive to that. Yeah, you know, like the whole thing about it, being attentive and, you know, to stuff like that. It's like, I think that's maybe what the Lord was saying is, you know, be attentive to, you know, like Gabriel, like that situation with him, being attentive to that and acknowledging that and, you know, enjoying it and try to absorb it as much as possible.
It's, you know, you were talking about earlier how it's hard to tell somebody something that you know when they don't want to hear it.
Yep.
I have that same issue with my daughter because she won't listen to me. And there's certain things I just know. I can't explain it. It's really hard. So I just have to ask Jesus to do it, to, you know, speak to her heart because I mean, Jesus has done that for me because I can't get a message to somebody and I just ask Jesus to do it, to change their heart or tell them, you know.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, we need to pray for Sister Ruth. I don't know if y'all remember Sister Ruth who helped us for a while doing shows like on Fridays. And so, she's been having a problem with COVID, so pray for her. I think she's in the hospital. I think they're saying she's been sedated. Sister Ruth's daughter just texted LaShawn and says she have her in her phone right now. They have her sedated. She's asking to praise God for what he is doing. We know she believes and stands on the word of God. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so a lot going on there.
Yeah, I will.
All
well,
right,
thank
y'all.
You, Randy. Pray for everybody's fighting this. And I was praying when you were on earlier calls. I was praying, asking God to bless everybody who prays.
Good.
And I always ask him to bless you. And in fact, I was going to thank you again.
Thank you.
You know, I think about that. I think about you being there for me when I had nobody. And I ask God to bless you all the time.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I really appreciate it. And we just love doing it. We love serving Jesus and doing our best. You know, we do our part. We don't have everybody else's part, but we have our part. So we try to do it. So thank you very much.
Randy, I wanted to ask you really quick. You remember that one place you were looking at to buy?
Yes.
Remember you had some pictures and stuff? It was real big.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still looking at that? You know, because I keep thinking that. Okay.
Yeah, because it's so weird you ask that because I've been traveling back and forth. I've been traveling about 300 miles out through Texas, you know, and with helping some loved ones. And then I come back. I'm back in Dallas tonight, back in Garland tonight, but I've been traveling back and forth. But the other day when I was driving back a couple of days ago, I stopped by and looked at that property. I haven't looked at it in a while. And I got out of the truck. They'd done anything to it. And so, I still like that property. I just, you know, I don't know. I like it, but it's the only really building. It's the only building that I ever really got out and spent time looking at. And as you guys know, I told everybody about it. I really like that building, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I just when I saw the pictures, and I know this is probably not what you had in mind, but I saw it as a sanctuary. I saw it as someplace.
Yeah.
That people could go to. And I even said stuff like that to you before years ago when you were moving from the one smaller place to the little bit bigger place, and I was thinking, oh, I can see, you know, people being in there and you,
yeah.
you know. So
right.
I see yeah. that. I see that as a place that people could go to if they had nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice place. It's a make a great studio, a great sanctuary, a great place for you know, people to go and get ministered to. So I really don't know.
Right.
I'm looking again. I'm out beating the bushes again. So, yeah.
Well, just have to pray they drop the price in half.
There you go. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't want to see you go into debt, you know? I don't want to see that.
I don't want to go into debt either. I don't want to take any chances. Yeah, I do not want to
right.
endanger PGN. I'd rather do ministry out of my truck than I would,
right.
You know, do it from a building that is like an albatross, you know, hanging over my head.
I agree.
And putting pressure on me to do things I don't want to do, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I know that's what God wanted when he wanted everybody to, you know, pay off their car, pay off their house, get out of debt.
Yeah.
I tried. I had all that. It was all taken away. So, oh, well. But, you know, I think
yeah.
about it might have been the only way it would have gotten me here so I could be close to my
yeah.
daughter and my grandchildren, but I, you know, I can't survive in this. It's not mine, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. Well, we never know what's ahead. That's for sure. So
right.
Things can change overnight. I've seen it happen time and time again, but.
Right.
All right, Sharon. Thank you very much.
All right.
Enjoy
thank
it.
You, Randy. I appreciate your prayers.
You.
And
okay,
I'll
you
send
too.
You a picture of my grandson.
Yeah, yeah, do that. That'd be great. Gable.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you, Randy.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. All right. I'm just kind of going down the line. You have your hand up. All right. 864. 313. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Walter, South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. All right, Walter, let's pray for you. I'm going to meet you for a second, and let's pray for you tonight, see how you're doing. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Walter, Father. I thank you for the spirit of life, God, and the spirit of life, God, that we, you know, when we obey the Lord thy God and follow his commands, follow his word, do what his word says, not what people are saying that the Bible says, but what the Bible says, what the word of God says, what the living word of God, then there's a spirit of life that life swallows up death. We have battles, we have struggles, but Satan cannot have the victory over us because Christ has already won the battle. The battle has already been won. It doesn't mean that Satan can't hinder us and try to stop us, but he cannot be successful. That's the thing I keep getting tonight in my spirit, that God wants to impart to his people that, yes, we have battles, we have struggles, we look like we're going to lose, but we don't, Satan cannot win. We have, in Christ Jesus, we have already won the battle. The battle is already won. But God, I thank you for letting your people know, for showing my brother, the battle is won, that we learned how to, you know, agree with it, come into agreement with it, and live that place out where we see that the battle has been won and that all we got to do is activate our faith and do works of righteousness, works that are of righteousness, works of faith, where faith comes by hearing from the word, doing what the Lord says. And we do that. Those are works of righteousness. And God, I thank you that you're doing a mighty work, God, in Jesus' name, my brother. Amen. What's going on, man? Walter, how are you?
Well, got a lot going on, man. I'm going to ask you something probably no one's ever asked before, but then again, I don't hear all your programs.
Okay.
Look, I fell in love with Jesus when I got saved in 95, okay, or re-saved. I fell in love with him. I mean, I was touched very, very powerfully, very strongly. And he kept on telling me, I just kept on inclining my ear one more time as I did first time. But it was different this time. It was stronger. And, I mean, I always had a word for somebody. Always had a word because I spent so much time in his face, okay? And I can go, I mean, what God would give me on Wednesday, the pastor preached on Sunday. And I saw the pattern there. I mean, every single time, what he gave me was, I mean, it was regular. I mean, I got to the point where I knew what he was going to preach. And so, anyway, that was better.
That's great.
Yeah. But the only thing is, I've sowed a lot of seed like that for, good God, for ever since then. But since I've been down here from North Carolina, I'm a caregiver for my mother. I don't have time to get in his face. It's always about my mom. I'm always trying to take care of her. If it ain't her bills, it's my bills. And then when the bill time comes, but she's high maintenance because she can't, you know, she can't fend for herself. She was hit with a stroke, and the left side. She can't use it, so she's probably at this point in time diagnosed bedridden. Okay, so I said all that to say this. I just lost, not to death, I just lost my prayer partner that I've known. She was a pretty powerful woman. She knew how to pray. And then it's good to have twos. It's good to have twos. You can bounce off each other, right? And now I got nobody. I got nobody.
Yeah.
I just came under a vicious attack. And the lady was a witch. The only reason I know that, because the Lord done told me. And then she attacked me. Now she attacked me through phone calls, but she attacked me. I started hearing stuff. Well, she attacked me in the spirit realm. I kept on hearing stuff falling. I kept on hearing stuff that hit the floor. I said, that's unique to me. I never heard that before. And so when I first heard it, I went from the kitchen to where my mom was. I didn't see anything on the floor. I heard it again. I knew then. It is a spiritual warfare. And so, anyway, I said all that. Oh, and by the way, my finances were hit. My mother's finances were hit. The credit cards was breached. Debit cards were, anyway. And so I knew to hit my finances, both of our finances. And very strange how that took place. Now, all of a sudden, Saturday, I'm saying all this for a reason. Because I have no one to bounce this off of. I've got no prayer partner. And say, hey, man, what are you picking up? And we always went back and forth. Iron sharpens iron. And all of a sudden, Saturday, my hand started itching. And I went to, prior to that, I kept on feeling something on my side, on my right side, down in my right below my ribs. I said, God, this ain't normal here. I don't know what that is. And by the way, I'll let you know, prior to all this, last year, I actually heard during the daytime, you're going to get COVID. I said, you're a liar, too. And while I tried to sleep that night, I felt something trying to wiggle down my throat. I literally could feel it wiggling down there like a snake. I could feel it going back and forth. And I had to rebuke that thing. And I knew right then that was a spiritual attack for the COVID. And that was going to be manifested as COVID, but I knew it had been demonic. It would have been the real deal, if you will. But anyway, I'm asking you point blank, what is the cause of my hands itching all of a sudden? Now, I'm under a lot of pressure. I know several things can pop up due to pressure. You can get shingles. You can get psoriasis. I went through a bankruptcy, I don't know how long ago. Be it right or wrong, I'll say 10, 15 years ago. I came down with shingles right prior to me going to court over it. And it was a very mild case. Matter of fact, the doctor, he didn't even know what it was. I said, try shingles. He looked at it and said, well, if it is, it's the mildest case I've ever seen. I said, well, look, I've done studies on it, okay? I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, go to the computer. And he was walking me through it. He said, that's what it is, the shingles. So I said, follow the line. It goes right over my eye, down my ear. And he said, yeah, you're right. They said, there's a nerve right through there. And he said, I was right. So, but he said, it's a mild case. But anyway, I am under a lot of pressure here, financial, everything,
right.
And just trying to take care of my mom. So, I was asking you point blank, what are you picking up?
Well, I don't know what I'm picking up or not, but I just listening to you and hearing you talk, you know, it sounds like to me it's your nerves, but I don't know what all that does, but you know, you got hang on a second. Hang on just a minute here. Okay. Itch due to food sensitivities. Well, different people have different things that go on in their body, you know. But it sounded like people sending me texts about foods like nuts and almonds and peanuts and that kind of thing. Sensitivity due to foods. Itching in their parts of their body, like their ears, their scalp. It's due to, and they're talking about it's due to food. But so I don't know, but that's what they're saying. That somebody sent me a text on that. But you know, it's definitely your nerves, no doubt about that. So I think whatever the root of it is, it sounds like it's the stress and the pressure that's trying to, you know, mess with you and, you know, make you, you know, have manifestations. So we just go to the root system, God. We thank you for the nerves. We thank you, Lord, for his soul. We speak peace to his soul. Speak peace to his body. I command his body. I command my brother Walter's body tonight in Jesus' name to settle down, to be at rest, to be at peace, God. We just speak precious peace to him in the name of Jesus, to his nerves, to his body, to his spinal cord, to the back of his head, the brain, the skull, and the nervous system in Jesus' name. I speak peace to it, Father, right now. By the power of God, I speak the blood of Jesus over it right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for your precious Holy Spirit and imparting to my brother, God, a calm and a peace, Lord, teaching him how to cast his cares upon you. Because you care for him, God. You care for Walter. And we thank you, Jesus, that he learns how to cast his care. So the things that are trying to mess with him, cast them upon you, Jesus. So his nervous system will not be overwhelmed. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.
Well, thank you. And by the way, when you start the phone call off, you put me on mute, and then you start praying. And anyway,
yeah.
I felt the anointing all over that thing.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
I was like, I need to hear that right now.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's a privilege to pray with you and to believe God with you. You're going through a lot. You have a lot of stuff going on. You've gone into a major transition. You had a lot of things happening, so I'm surprised that's all that's happened to you. You've done really well.
Well, I would think I've done really well if we both got healed, both my mother and I, and I'm still waiting on that. I've been incredibly patient, but I'm running out of patience now. So I'm like,
yeah.
Lord, you know something? This has got something to change here.
Yeah, right. Yes, and Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus over his mama and him. God, we thank you, Father, for intervening in that situation and bringing resurrection power. God, resurrection. God, resurrection is when something, passed on or went past the point of no return, but now you're going to bring it back. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that have gone past the place of no return, or at least the medical world says so, or whatever, in Jesus' name, that we call back her body. We call back, God, her life in Jesus' name. Her precious life that's precious to you, Jesus, that you speak your compassion over him, God, and her love, your love for her in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for your blood, Lamb of God. Speak over her life, God. love and mercy and compassion. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, my man. Nice talking to you.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
Hey, you're so welcome, Walter. Call back anytime you want, bro. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let's go here to
469-463. Randy, how are you?
Say it again, please.
Hi. How are you doing?
Hi, Barbara.
Yes, can you hear me? I'm going to have to mute you. The train is coming. I wanted
okay,
to pray
the
for the demise, yes.
I would love to hear the train.
Okay.
I like trains.
It's loud, but it's getting near.
Yeah.
Okay, here you come. But I just really been enjoying the show. There you train, go.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Let it blow, man. Is that it? Is that all there was? Okay. Nice.
Yeah, and pray
very
for
nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It comes all the time. That's why I can't volunteer to help because the train runs so much.
Okay, so what? So who are we praying for, Kelly?
We're going to pray for Kay.
Okay, okay.
The letter K.
For Kay, K-A-Y, okay.
A friend of mine. Yeah, she texted. She said she texted, so she told. I think she texted earlier.
Oh, you know what? I do think I've read about that, but I couldn't figure out what that was. Oh, okay. I think you're right.
And
yeah.
So her friend is on, too.
Her friend?
She should be on. Uh-huh. She wants prayer, too. Her name, Karen.
Okay. Do we have a number, or does it matter? Whatever.
Sure. I have Karen's number. Let's see what her number is. Let me try the text. It's a 903 number, all I know.
903? I spoke with 903 earlier. She was my first caller, I think.
Oh, was she? Let's see.
I think.
She said she's
maybe
in the
queue. That was 913. That was 913, sorry.
It's okay. I was looking for her number, though.
Okay,
let me see who she is. Her number, details. Her number is 1-845-893. 845.
Okay, there it is right there. Yeah, I did. She sent me something this happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, she was asking for
Karen
a friend. Yeah, that's her. She wants prayer after we pray for Kay.
After Kay, okay. Karen wants prayer or
both?
Prayer for Kay?
Both. Mm-hmm.
Both. Karen and Kay. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
All right. Let's do that. Okay. I'm going to mute you for a second, and I'm going to mute you just for a moment here. Kay and Karen. Yes, Lord, we thank you for Kay tonight, Father, that you're. I see her being driven somewhere, driving somewhere or something. And God, you taking care of her, getting her where she needs to be, getting her the things that she needs. Okay, Karen says she's in the queue. Okay, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. Oh, this K or what that is. But thank you, Jesus, for that. And to meet her needs, God, to get her in the place to where her needs will be met, where she can help others and others can help her, and she gets in a place to where, you know, you don't just give, but you receive, giving and receiving. Because the blessing of God is we get blessed to be a blessing. We give and receive. So I thank you, Lord, for bringing those people in her life, God, that will cause her to be able to receive blessing, get what she needs, and get taken care of, and get and have her taken wherever she needs to be to go. And well, that's a spiritual thing. I'm not sure, it's a physical thing, and that's, I'm not sure what that is. But I thank you, Lord, for the ministry and the calling of getting her where she needs to go, putting her in position where she can be used by you, God, and in the ways that she can, and at the level that she's at, where she can learn to give and be a blessing and be received by others around her, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody you want to bless, God, you give them something to give to others. You give them something. It may not seem like much to them, but it's something that it gives them an opportunity to give away. And I thank you, Jesus, for her, for Kate, being able to give herself, give something that, that is that you've given her, Father, to give away so that she can receive from God. Amen. The Bible says, given shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running with men, given through your bosom. There's something about giving. It's, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So, and when you start giving, you open yourself up for receiving. And I thank you, Lord, for that and the miracles that she needs, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Karen tonight, God. We take authority over, Father. We take authority over those things that try to overwhelm her, that try to overcome her, that try to cause anxiety and stress to come against her, Father, and to allow her to enter into a place of praise and worship and prayer, God, where all those things that the enemy tries to put on her to overpower her, to weigh her down, God, they turn around and do just the opposite, where she gets something to stand on, to stand up higher for God, just like a stepping stone. Those problems become stepping stones. Those issues become places to where she is, where they were trying to take her down. Now she's taking them down, and she's using them as a step stool, or as a stepping stone to go higher, God, in Jesus' name. Open up the higher realm, my sister, Father, in Jesus' name. The things that try to get her down, that try to take her out, God, you will use them in an overcoming spirit to where she will be able to take the things that take her down as stepping stones to get higher in places with God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Lord, we pray for Barbara tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, for Barbara tonight, God. We thank you for opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing for her, Father, for the ways that she gives and blesses and opens up for you, opens up things to you, opens up people to you, God, the keys to the kingdom, to the house of David, whatever things, that God opens up, no man can shut it. Whatever things God shuts, no man can open. And I thank you, Lord, for taking control, for the movement of taking control of those situations, Father, where we always win the victory. We always see God do something. And then all you do is try to get the people to believe it, to receive it. And they use Barbara to get people to water them, to plant them, Paul planted. Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the process, God, that you teach Barbara how to work in and walk in, plant and water, plant. We can't give the increase, but we can plant and water and sometimes fertilize. So thank you, Jesus, for that anointing in her life, God, calling her up, God, calling her upward in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the anointing falling down on her, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Let's see. All right, Barbara, what's going on tonight? How are you?
Thank you. Well, I have so many little friends and people that I know that I try to mentor and help them. And then I open up my home for at least 6 or 7 of them in my home. And I said, Lord, I know I was supposed to not do that, but if they said it was just for a short period of time, they needed a little help. And I said, okay, Lord, give me strength. But other than that, I'm fine, you know, trying to ask God to recover and get strength. And you know how you give to help, because, you know, you try to be a blessing to everyone. But I thank God for you. You've been such a true blessing in my life. And I try to encourage others by calling in. And so they do. They listen. Amen.
Yeah. Well, if we can just find some way to give, you know, like I was praying over whichever one it was, I remember Kay, I think, that if we can find, mm-hmm. just, you know, many people don't realize they have something to offer somebody. They have something they can do. They can pray. They can encourage. Mm-hmm. They can do something to give, you know, because when you start giving, you know, God never lets us down and we don't receive from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting people to understand that giving out of their life, they think they don't have really anything to offer, but they do. And to help open their eyes to see what they have to offer and what to give, so they can get into that giving and receiving, you know, give their time, give their love, give their, you know, give mercy, give prayer, give something, and just give it away.
Yeah.
And God bless them.
Amen. And thank you for praying for all these people. Amen. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. All right, we love it. All right.
Sure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. Hang on just a second. I can't get to my... Hang on a minute here. Okay, hang on just a moment. All right. Really, really good show tonight. You know, I'm going to call it a night tonight. And so if I missed you tonight, I know we got some of the callers with their hand up. We've gotten to pray for quite a few people tonight and got to talk to some people, and it's been really a privilege. Thank you, Barbara, for all your prayers and what you give and your love. Thank you for that. I thank everybody for what they do to give to PGN, to give to God, your giving to God. And I actually thank you for that, and what a blessing that it is. We just pray that we can continue to be a place where people can, you know, give somebody a reason for living, you know, to be able to give and receive. And, so somebody says, please pray for Angela. She's in a hard place. Okay. So we're going to pray, lift up Angela tonight, Father, for whoever this is. I don't know who this is. Okay, for Angela. Thank you, Lord, for Angela tonight. She's in a hard place. God, we thank you, Father, that you give her faith, that she doesn't give up, that she yields over to you. Oh, sorry, it's Karen. That's what I thought, Karen. Thank you, Karen. That Angela doesn't give up, that she doesn't give her territory over to the enemy or to other people, but she prays and stands on the rock, Christ Jesus, and that the power of God give her strength to stand. Because sometimes we just need to stand. We need to stand to God and say, God, where am I at? What am I doing? How do I change? How do I open myself up to the blessing? And I thank you, Lord, that Angela, God, you're going to show her how to open herself up to the blessing in Jesus' name. And there's so many different ways that works. And make it simple, God. Your precious voice, Jesus, speaking to Angela in whatever way she can hear you. Some people can hear one way. Some people can hear another. Other people hear in other ways. There are so many different ways we hear from God. Speaking to her life, God, in ways that she can hear you, in ways that she can know you, that she will know that it's you speaking to her, right? That she'll not be wondering about it or thinking about it. She will know that the living, loving Jesus has spoken to her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it. Thank you, Noel. Noel says, keep thinking, hoping your studio has income rental potential that offsets any carrying costs for you. Oh, yeah, okay. That's a good one.
hoping that your studio has income rental potential that offsets and carries carrying costs for you. Yeah, I think you mentioned that before, Ed. So there's something, maybe something about that. I have to say, I don't know. That would be awesome. Yeah, and give us a chance to grow, possibly, whatever. I'm not really sure either, but I really appreciate the words. I appreciate the encouragement. And yeah, I really appreciate that. So thank you, Jesus. All right, y'all, I'm going to call it a nice night. Been a great Monday. Thank you for being with us. We're here to serve and just bless and be a blessing. And, you know, we talk to anybody. We talk to everybody. We'll pray for anything and anything. yeah, so don't be afraid to share any prayer request you have, no matter what that is, no matter how strange it may sound. Just go ahead and bring it in here. We're going to pray over it. You never know. The Lord may speak about it very plainly and maybe speak about it in mysteries. I don't know how he's going to speak about it, but he will. And if you give him a chance, he will do it for sure. All right. All right, y'all. Thank you very much. What a great night tonight this has been. And we're going to call it a night. And we'll see you tomorrow. We're here four nights a week. On Wednesdays, we prophesy and minister to every person when they call in. So make sure and being here on Wednesday. And you can also get in 15 minutes early. If you call into the show 15 minutes early, you can get in early and get in line early. 15 minutes, you can call at 8:45 on Wednesdays and get in early. You can do it on any show, actually. But on Wednesdays, you want to get in early and get in line first. By doing that, you just call the show early. You have to put your phone on the speaker and listen and wait. And then we'll call your name and your number, and then you'll tell me your name and what state you're from, and we'll prophesy over you. We'll minister. We'll pray over you. You never know what the Lord's going to say. So remember that, 15 minutes early. It'll get you in line at the top 10 probably. So, all right. God bless everybody. We love you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.